This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Devil's Pact by Mypename 3000. Part 7. Chapter 1. K. Peterson, Special Agent Kip Peterson and Special Agent Noel Heinrich interviewing Dennis Hertz, 8:30 p.m., June 8, 2013. Mr. Hertz, do you know where your daughter is? D. Hertz, I have no idea where Allison is. She hasn't spoken to me since Thursday. KP, last Thursday? The 6th? DH, yeah? She called me and said she had a master now. I spoke to the man and he seemed perfectly nice. KP, master? DH, uh-huh. She was his sex slave and her master told me it would be okay. N. Heinrich, and you accepted this over the phone? You didn't meet her master face to face? DH, no. I've never met him. KP muttered, how'd Glasner do that? Transcript of FBI interview with Dennis Hertz, Saturday, June 8, 2013. Sister Louise Afrasitak, Washington. I had spent a wonderful day with Sarai, the Arabic, lesbian flight attendant. After a day of having fun with the woman, Providence had yet to guide me to Mark Glasner. I knew in my heart he was the warlock I had been sent to defeat, but I needed to be patient. I would be guided to him by chance and faith. Until then, I would just enjoy Sarai. I was so glad I met her on my Friday night flight into SeaTac, and thrilled at the hospitality she had showed me on the flight. It even extended to an even more intimate encounter in her room at the SeaTac Hilton. We hadn't left since we arrived. We would make love for hours, and then collapse in a puddle of girl cum and sweat, enjoying the silky feel of each other's skin as we cuddled. Cuddling would turn into kissing and light petting, and then we would be pleasuring each other all over again. We would only sleep for a few hours before one of us would wake up and begin teasing the other. When we would get hungry, we just ordered room service and gave the bellhop an eyeful when he delivered the food, not bothering to cover our naked bodies. Sarai had an exhibitionist streak that I was more than happy to indulge. None of the bellhops seemed to mind that we stiffed them on the tip. Their eyes always burned with desire, and their hopes were dashed as we slammed the doors in their faces. Men were such disgusting yet funny pigs. She was a dusky beauty as she lay stretched on the bed. The sun was setting, flooding the room with twilight. A plane roared, landing at the busy airport across the wide street. Between us sat a plate of hot brownies. Room service was amazing here. I grabbed one of the chocolate delights, smearing it on her dusky nipple and bent over, swirling my tongue about her hard nub. The moist delight filled my mouth as I sucked on her hard nipple. You're going to make a mess, laughed Sarai. Then we'll have to get the maid and her to clean it up. I hate sleeping in crumbs. So, I grinned. What if she was a cute, sexy Latina with a bubbly ass? We could have our way with her. My hand stroked her belly as I talked. Her skin was flawless. I moved lower to her shaved pussy, leaving a smear of chocolate frosting. I could shove a brownie up here and she could eat you clean. You dirty slut. She laughed as my finger teased her pussy lips. I dipped in, probing her flesh. Last night, she had been a virgin. It had been so hot taking her cherry in the airplane's lavatory. What a delicious way to join the Mile High Club. I pulled my finger out of her twat, glistening with her juices, and grabbed another brownie. I smeared her juices on it and brought it to my lips. The rich chocolate overpowered the flavor of her tart pussy. What a shame. You just relax. She grinned. I'll play with you later. Let me enjoy this treat. Fine. I pouted, leaning my head on her shoulder. I want you to fuck me with the strap on. Deal. She smiled, then leaned over and kissed me, her tongue sliding across my lips. You had a bit of frosting. I grabbed another brownie and smeared it down to her pussy. So do you. Oh, you naughty nun. She moaned as my tongue licked up the frosting across her stomach, moving lower and lower. Her skin was salty sweet, my tongue loving all the texture. Her tart scent filled my nose as I pressed lower, my head disappearing between her silky thighs. I licked her. She moaned. Chocolate and tart pussy danced on my tongue. Her thighs parted more, letting me really get into her naughty Arab pussy. My tongue swirled through her pink folds, my pale fingers spreading her apart. Keep eating your dessert, she moaned as my tongue flicked across her clit. I love it. You're such a nasty nun. I shoved the brownie still in my hand into her twat. She gasped. I buried my lips in, searching for all the crumbs as the chocolate basted in her delicious twat. A frothy, chocolatey mess greeted my lips. I reveled in the decadence of it. She squirmed as I probed her flesh. I had to find every last morsel I shoved inside her. The bed rocked, her legs twitching as my tongue stirred her up. My own pussy was on fire. The itching need drove me to love her more. I always wanted to give as much pleasure as I received. It was the Christian thing to do.
Sister Louise.
She moaned. Oh, yes. Put that naughty mouth to use. Her hips bucked, sliding her messy pussy around on my lips. She grew closer to her release. I concentrated on her clit, flicking the little bud for all I could. She gasped, shuddering beneath me. Then she let out the sweetest, shuddering moan. I drank the flood of tart, chocolate-flavored pussy juices. She screamed and moaned, coming hard. Sister Louise. Yes, yes. You fucking slut. I love it. Oh, fuck. I'm going to pound your cunt with a strap-on. I lifted my lips from her twat, licking them clean.
Then you better go get it.
Yeah. She panted. Give me a moment. That was a great cum.
Sure.
I smiled, stretching out on the bed, my breasts heaving. The TV was on, muted, but I caught Mark's name flashing on the bottom of the screen. It was a news report. I found the remote and unmuted it. It seems Mark Glasner has struck again. The anchor reported. She was a rather attractive woman that filled out her mauve blouse nicely. After wreaking havoc in South Hill on Thursday, he appeared in the remote town of Anacortes in the San Juan Islands today. There he turned an orca watching cruise into another orgy. The male anchor added. Authorities are still not sure what the gas is or how it makes people act so out of character. My anger rose as I listened to the reporters speak about the warlock, speculating about the mysterious gas he used. That's how they were rationalizing his mind control powers. He had damaged another group of people. Shots of the tourist being interviewed played. The women all gushed at how beautiful Mark's companion, Mary Sullivan, was.
She fingered me while he fucked her.
Moaned a Japanese woman with a thick accent.
So good.
My husband film. Very exciting. I had never seen such a daring warlock before. Most weren't so blatant with their powers. Even the ones that desired fame didn't dive into the level of depravity that Mark had. At least, not right away. By the time they reached that point, one of my fellow sisters of Mary Magdalene, or I would have struck, exorcising the warlock. It's wild. Sarai said as she stood up. I don't get how he could make anyone do that. Because he sold his soul to the devil. A picture of Mark flashed on the screen, pulled off a security camera. He was a little overweight, in his mid to late 20s. A sleazy perv. And that poor Mary followed him like a sick puppy. She clearly was a thrall under his mental domination. I'll save you. I whispered. She was beautiful. I bet she would be very grateful for being rescued. Like Sister Theodora had been. What was that? Sarai asked, securing the strap-on about her waist. I stood up, grabbed my Arab lover, my anger mixing with my horniness. I kissed her on the lips, thrusting my tongue into her mouth. She froze for a moment, surprised by my aggression, then she kissed me back. My tongue flicked about her mouth as I tried to devour her. My pussy ached for satisfaction. I held her tight and spun us about, throwing her down onto the bed.
Wow.
She gasped, the dildo waving as it rose from her crotch. Someone's feeling frisky. I straddled her, guiding the dildo into my pussy. This is what I would do to Mark Glasner. I would have his thrall Mary pin his arms down while I rode his cock hard. I closed my eyes as I slid my pussy up and down Sarai's dildo, pretending it was his cock. I'm going to steal your power, I hissed in my imagination. When you come, I'll take away your pact. Then you'll answer for every crime you committed, bastard. Pleasure burned through my pussy as the bed squeaked. Sarai gasped and moaned. I swiveled my hips, swirling the thick dildo through my pussy. I squeezed my tits, imagining the fear in Mark's eyes. He would fight, trying to keep from coming. But my pussy won't let him. Please don't, he blubbered in my mind. I'll give you everything. I rode Sarai faster, smashing my clit into the harness. The pleasure swelled inside me. My fantasy played out, Mark's face scrunching up as he tried to fight the pleasure of my pussy. But he couldn't. It was biology. You'll come! I shouted.
Yes!
Sarai gasped. Oh yes! Keep riding me! You're so hot! My orgasm ripped through me, a fierce hot storm, as I imagined Mark's cum erupting into my pussy. I slammed down on Sarai, swaying hard. I collapsed on her, gasping as my pleasure flowed through my veins.
Wow, Sister Louise!
She panted.
What was that?
Just a fantasy I enjoy. I smiled, leaning in to kiss her.
Did you come?
No.
She smiled.
Then we should fix that. Mark would wait for the right time. But I would exorcise him eventually. Brandon Fitzsimmons. An airplane roared as it landed nearby. The bed in the next room thumped as a woman moaned in pleasure. The couple were fucking again. They had been going at it all day long. I lay in my bathrobe glowering at the news. Mark fucking Glasner was causing more problems, stealing more men's wives. I glanced at the picture of Desiree I had set out on the cheap nightstand. I hated the SeaTac Hilton. But it fit the requirements Mark had placed on me. I wanted to call and speak to my wife, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't force myself to grasp the phone if that was my intentions. I tried so many different ways to get around the command. But the moment I made the decision to call her, my body rebelled. We had thought Mark Glasner was staying in the South Hill area. Some talking head on the national news reported. But he was spotted all the way up in Anacortes. A map appeared, and the idiot on the news was drawing a line to show how far apart the two locations were. It was all bullshit. I knew it wasn't a gas Mark used.
I didn't know what it was, but he hadn't released anything when he walked into my house on Thursday and stole my wife. My sweet Desiree. Just thinking about her sweet beauty inflamed my lust, and the amour's moans coming through the wall didn't help. My cock swelled beneath the robe. My hand drifted down, squeezing myself as I reached over and drank more wine, setting the glass down next to the half-eaten plate. My Desiree was perfect and sweet. She would never have betrayed me if Mark didn't do whatever it was he did. I stroked myself, picturing my sweet wife stretched out beside me, her lips caressing my neck, her large tits brushing my arm. Someone knocked at his door, snapping me out of my fantasy. About fucking time. I growled, rolling off the bed and walking to the door. I opened it, not bothering to cover up, my cock pointing straight ahead. The escort I ordered stood on the other side. She paled in comparison to my Desiree. She was Latina, like I had ordered, and had a nice pair of tits, but she lacked my wife's grace and poise. She was almost slouching in her cocktail dress, her large, brown breasts spilling out of the top. Hi, Mr. Fitzsimmons. She cooed, her eyes widening as she saw my cock. Someone's eager to meet me. She wasn't my wife, but she would do. I pulled her in. She gasped and giggled as I led her to the bed. Undress. I ordered her. She wasn't the first escort I had hired. When I was on the road for business, away from Desiree, it was simpler to order a whore than to troll the bar. Clean and efficient. Sure, babe. She purred, stretching out on the bed, her legs parting, giving me an inviting glimpse of her white panties. They looked so bright between her thighs, beckoning to me. She grabbed the hem of her dress, pulling it up her brown skin. Do you like what you're seeing?
Yeah.
I growled, my cock aching. Her bra came off, exposing her big, fake tits. They were full and round, firm from her implants. Not naturally big like my wife's. I really didn't care that she wasn't as perfect as Desiree. I was horny. And the whore was taking too long to undress. I ripped off her panties, tearing the flimsy material, and mounted her.
Whoa there, stud.
She gasped.
Get a girl warmed up first.
I don't care, whore. I spat, thrusting my cock into her velvety sheath. She gasped, squirming beneath me.
Stop! You have to put a condom on.
I pinned her down, pumping away inside her hot, wet sheath.
You know you like it better bareback.
I know I do. I grinned.
Fuck, your cunt's nice. Take my cock. Let me hear how much you love it. It's so big.
She cooed, writhing beneath me. Her eyes glinted with fear, but her body responded. I pounded her hard, taking out all my frustration on her sweet snatch.
Desira!
I moaned, my balls slapping into her snatch.
I'll get you back. I know you will.
She panted, her hips bucking into me.
I'm waiting for you.
I groaned as my lust burned hot. What a smart whore.
You like my cock better, don't you?
I hate his. She purred.
I miss you. This is the cock I need.
You fuck me so well. He can't even make me come.
That's right.
I grunted.
But you're going to come big time on my cock.
Oh, yes. The whore moaned, so throaty.
You're stirring me up.
Oh, yes, baby.
Oh, fuck.
Keep slamming that cock into me.
I'm going to come so hard on you, baby.
Oh, yes.
Fuck. I'm coming.
Her hands raked my back, her body bucking beneath me as she gasped and squealed. Just like Desiree would. My cock spasmed. My cum erupted into the whore's body. I slammed into her, shuddering as the bliss stole over me.
I'll get you back.
I whispered as I rolled off of her.
That'll be an extra 100 for coming in me.
The whore purred.
Sure.
I shrugged, grabbing my wallet. I counted out the bills and threw them at her.
You were a good fuck.
She smiled as she quickly scooped up the money, clutching it in her fists like the greedy whore she was. I closed my eyes, picturing my sweet Desiree. I knew my wife missed me in that part of her, deep inside, that wasn't under Mark's control.
I'll get you back. Somehow.
Desiree Fitzsimmons, South Hill, Washington.
Oh God, Allison.
I moaned as my orgasm bled out of my body.
I'm so glad you're here. My husband never would go down on me. Let alone make me come like that.
Allison giggled between my thighs.
I bet he's lying in a hotel room pining after you.
Good. I sighed as she crawled up my body. I kissed her, tasting my juices.
He's all alone and I have me Serenita for company. Who needs him?
It was so wonderful not having to fake it when he pumped away on top of me. Allison giggled, her pierced nipples rubbing against my ample breasts. The young woman let out a dewy sigh.
Master must be on the Space Needle right now proposing to mistress.
I smiled, wishing we could be there.
They must be so happy.
I sighed, a tear welling in my eye.
Why couldn't we have been with them? Master has his reasons.
Allison shrugged. They'll be home tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll get to celebrate.
I like celebrating.
I grinned.
I want to watch Master's thick cock pump in and out of your pussy until he erupts inside you. And then you'll clean me up like a good slut.
Allison beamed. She was so youthful. Her dyed pink hair made her seem almost like a child. But a child couldn't make me come so hard. I was glad I had her for company all day. She was so sweet beneath her slutty act. I held her tight, my heart beating a little faster. I hadn't felt like this since college when I thought I loved my roommate. That's when I had discovered the joys of being with a woman. Juana had taught me some delightful things until she graduated. Then she remembered how much she liked cock. She was married to some politician now.
but Allison wasn't ever going to leave me. We were Mark and Mary's sluts forever. I kissed the young woman on the lips. It was too soon to tell if I really loved her or just loved being with her. Until then, I would enjoy her as much as possible. Allison's phone rang.
Master!
She squealed, diving for her cell phone.
Hello?
Oh, hi, Dad. She was stretched out across me, her cute but flexing before my eyes. I put my hand on her, giving her a squeeze. Such a delectable rear. I wanted to spread her open and eat her ass out.
He is not a terrorist, Daddy.
Allison gasped in anger.
Well, I'm perfectly fine. He's my master, and he loves me.
I blinked, wondering what was going on. I am not turning myself into the FBI.
I don't care if they'll go easy on me. I'm his slut, Daddy.
FBI? Fear shot through me.
Hang up the phone. They can trace the call.
I got to go, Daddy. Allison hung up her phone.
Oh no. Do you think they found us?
I don't know. I admitted.
Maybe you should turn your phone off completely.
Just to make sure. I had seen that in movies. That meant it was probably true.
But what if Master needs me? He has my phone number.
I reassured her, pulling her to me. She trembled in my arms. The news had all been about Mark today. Before we had dinner, we even heard about the fun he had on the Orca cruise. I couldn't wait until Mireille proved them all wrong and showed the world just how great and amazing he was. Every woman would be lining up to spread her legs for his cock and they would all beg to feast on Mireille's pussy.
Don't worry,
I said as I rocked her.
Even if the FBI does find us, Mireille would just free us. They can't stop him. He's special.
Allison nodded, looking up at me.
Thank you.
She gave me a gentle kiss.
I'm so glad we're slut sisters.
Me too.
Let's go to sleep.
We'll need to make sure the house is perfect for their return tomorrow.
I hope they'll bring new sluts.
Allison smiled.
Wouldn't that be nice? More sisters for us to play with.
Yes. I smiled.
But none will be better than me, Serenita.
She smiled, her eyes closing, and I held her as she fell asleep. Chapter 2. Where others see coincidence, we see providence. Heaven guides us with a gentle hand. Do not fight the path you are led upon. Do not let your pride lead you to strike out across the wilderness thinking you found a shortcut. All things have their time and place. Exorcising a warlock is no different. Excerpt from the prayer book of the Order of Mary Magdalene, Sunday, June 9, 2013. Sister Louise Afrasitak, Washington.
Fuck me, Louise!
Sarai moaned beneath me. I worked a large, beige-colored rubber cock into her pussy. The anatomically correct dildo, complete with a pair of hairless balls, was strapped to my thighs and pressed against my clit every time I stuffed the monster into Sarai's tight cunt. I fucked her hard, delighting in the thrill. We had been fucking on and off all night. We both knew our affair was short-lived, and we wanted to get as much fun out of it as we could. According to the clock, it was Sunday morning now. I should be out finding a church and attending mass, but, Lord, Sarai was an insatiable lover, always wanting just one more orgasm, and I was having too much fun. Church would be there next week. Besides, I had my papal indulgence. I was already forgiven for sinning in the loving embrace of Sarai. The back of the rubber cock rubbed deliciously on my clit as I fucked this beautiful creature. Our nipples were hard and rubbed pleasurably together, and her lips were hot and wet, sucking at my neck. Or she would find my lips and her tongue would wiggle into my mouth. She tasted sweet, and I wrestled my tongue into her, exploring her. Nothing else mattered but the feel of this dusky creature against my skin. I couldn't get enough of her touch, enjoying the electricity that tingled through my body at every brush of her tongue, kiss of her nipple, or caress of her thighs. I pushed up her knees, changing the angle that my dildo slid into her, and really started to fuck her hard.
Fuck, fuck, fuck!
Sarai chanted. Our lovemaking cycled through sweet and loving, to hard and fast.
Fuck my naughty, Muslim cunt with your big, thick Catholic dildo!
Her words sent me over the edge. I kissed her passionately as my body shook in orgasm, bliss screaming through me. Sarai trembled beneath me, coming herself. The pleasure smashed through me in powerful waves, leaving me a quivering mass of flesh as I collapsed on her.
Oh wow!
She sighed.
Uh-huh!
I panted, rolling off of her, the large, rubber cock popping out of her pussy with a wet noise. We stared at the ceiling, hands entwined, breasts heaving with passion. Sarai rolled over, pressing her dusky body against my pale flesh.
That was spectacular!
Sarai husked, brushing a strand of sweat-matted hair off my forehead. The room reeked of pussy after over a day of fucking.
It was.
I whispered back. An idea suddenly popped into my head.
Sarai, have you ever been tied up?
I cannot believe we hadn't indulged in some bondage yet. And we only had a few more hours left before she had to get ready for her flight. Plenty of time for me to tie her up and have some fun. Sarai blinked, then smiled naughtily.
Oh, bondage.
No, never. I have a friend that's hinted at it.
Friend?
I asked.
Are you trying to make me jealous?
She laughed.
There's not one woman that's enough for you. You're a lot like Diane.
Your friend? She nodded as I dug through my suitcase. I found the pink, fuzzy handcuffs.
Stretch out.
I told her, twirling the cuff around my finger.
Yes, officer.
She purred, stretching out on the bed, holding her hands through gaps in the headboard. I walked to the bed, leaning over her and seizing her wrists. With a ratcheting click, I handcuffed her. Then I grabbed the complimentary sleeping mask off the nightstand and covered her eyes.
I ran a finger down her neck and she shivered in pleasure. Then I kissed her stomach, licking up a bead of her sweat.
I'll be right back, sexy girl.
I told her, grabbing a discarded blue slip with a black lace hem and pulling it over my body.
I just need to get something.
I Sarah would writhe in pleasure as I rubbed cold, wet ice all over her body.
Hurry back.
Sarah I moaned, wiggling on the bed, straining for my touch. The weight, while blindfolded, would send her lust into overdrive. I slipped out into the hallway, ice bucket in one hand, hotel key in the other. I had made that mistake once, tying up my lover and then forgetting the hotel key. It was quite embarrassing to get a maid to let you back in, and she sees your lover handcuffed to the bed. The ice machine was to the left, and I walked down the hall. As I passed the hotel room next to ours, the door opened and a short, balding man in a blue, silk bathrobe bent down to pick up the Sunday paper. He looked tired, haggard sacks hanging beneath red eyes. I bet we kept him up all night. Then I really saw him. My eyes widened in shock. I don't know why I should be surprised, not when Providence was at work. Surrounding the man was a blue-black aura, pale and sickly like a fresh bruise. This man had been touched by a warlock and made into a thrall. Years of fighting evil had honed my reflexes, and my hand moved without thought. I dipped beneath my slip, slipping two fingers into my pussy and coating them in my juices. The man gaped at me. I used his surprise to quickly draw the mark of Cain on his forehead and muttered, "Chama." White light flared as the prayer took effect. The man went limp, slumping against his door and landing with a heavy thud. Adrenaline surged through my body as I dragged him back to my hotel room, hoping that we wouldn't be spotted. This would be hard to explain. I needed to move quick before the Chama prayer wore off. It would only keep him stunned for a few minutes, and it would take more intimate work to get anything useful information. And it would be easier to get if he wasn't struggling.
"MHH, you're back."
Sarah I moaned like a bitch in heat. "Shoot, I didn't have time to play with her."
"Just relax, sexy," I said. "I gotta take care of some nun business."
"Oh." Sarah I moaned in disappointment.
"Can you uncuff me?"
"Just hang tight, sweetie," I said, pulling the man in until he lay before the bed. My hands untied the belt to his robe, revealing a fat belly covered in graying hair, and a black man thong that did little to cover his junk. He was so fat that the rolls of his waist covered the thin waistband of his thong. "God, give me strength," I prayed, reaching into the thong to pull out his fat, short cock. My soft hand quickly stroked him to readiness. I hiked up my slip and straddled his fat waist. I guided his cock to my pussy, the tip brushing my labia and bumping my clit. I closed my eyes and lowered my cunt around his cock, moaning low in my throat. His cock's girth stretched my pussy nicely and I rose up and fucked him, our flesh slapping together.
"What's going on?"
Sarah asked in a puzzled voice. She writhed on the bed, struggling to pull her blindfold by rubbing the side of her face on a pillow.
"Holy shit!"
she gasped when she had succeeded.
"Who the fuck is that?"
I'm not sure," I answered lamely. His cock felt real nice in my pussy. I love being with women, but there was something to be said about a real cock plumbing your depths.
"Is this your surprise? Because I have no interest in fucking a guy, let alone some fat, old dude." "No, this is for my order,"
I gasped, adding a twist to my hip movement. "He's been touched by evil and I need to help him." I was really fucking this guy now, riding him hard. And Sarah watching me was so exciting. I pulled my slip over my head and played with my nipples, pulling and twisting. I hope Sarah was enjoying the sight of my perky breasts bouncing up and down. I leaned back, thrusting my tits out, and his cock was hitting new, delightful places in my pussy.
"That sounds crazy," Sarah said.
I can understand her confusion. Most people didn't believe in the supernatural. Even the majority of Christians would find it hard to believe that the devil made pacts with people, giving them powers in exchange for their souls. Warlocks. My order and I were dedicated to fighting them, to freeing those the warlocks has enthralled, people like the man I was fucking. My orgasm built in my womb, and I rode the man hard and fast, squeezing my cunt about his cock. The man grunted, starting to come out of his stupor. He blinked up at my tits, then a smile crossed his lips.
"Oh yeah?"
he moaned. "This is a nice way to wake up.
Fuck me, whore."
He let out a deep, animalistic grunt as his hips thrust up, and then he flooded my pussy with his hot seed. My orgasm triggered, pleasure knifing through my body. I prayed a single word.
"Rekhem!"
The mark of Cain flared white on the man's forehead. The man went rigid for a second and then relaxed, smiling up in a daze at me.
"What was that?"
Sarah gasped.
"What was that light?"
"The prayer of Rekhem," I answered.
"It will allow me to get around any commands the warlock placed on him and make him extremely cooperative."
I peered down at the man, gazing into his brown eyes.
"Speak your name,"
I ordered the man.
"And tell me all about the warlock that commands you." "My name is Brandon Fitzsimmons,"
the man said in a hypnotic monotone.
"Several days ago a man named Mark and two women appeared at my door."
My smile grew as Brandon told his tale. Creator's providence had led me to the warlock's lair. Doug Allard, Parkland, Washington. I pulled up at 1414 South Alaska Street, an unassuming, blue house on a street full of small, older homes. I pulled up on the curb behind an old, dirty, maroon Toyota. After calling around yesterday, I got a hold of Mark Glassner's dad. I was hoping he'd have some answers for me. I climbed out of my car and walked past the Toyota. A young woman with coffee cream skin sat in it, giving me a puzzled look. Her eyes were startling blue, adding an exotic cast to her African-American features. I nodded to the woman, but she just frowned at me. Halfway to the door, it opened, and a pretty brunette, early 40s, blinked at me, then gave me a friendly smile. I was about to say hi, when a man yelled from inside.
Where are you going, Sandy?
Church, she answered.
It's Sunday, David. Remember?
Then some shopping with Betty.
I'll be back around too. Get more beer, we're almost out.
She flinched at the word beer.
Yeah, honey, I will.
You better, the man muttered.
Or you'll get what's coming to you.
She scurried past me without a word and climbed into the car. My stomach soured. This was not going to be a pleasant interview. I reached the door and rapped on it, peering into the living room where a fat, balding man lounged in a ripped, stained wife beater and a pair of gray sweatpants, a beer can gripped in his hand.
The fuck are you? The man muttered. David Glasner?
I asked.
Yeah. What you want?
I'm Doug Allard. We spoke on the phone yesterday.
Right, right. The PI.
He waved his arm.
Want a beer?
No thanks.
I walked in and sat down on the couch.
Do you mind if I record this?
You're forgetting the money.
I pulled an envelope out of my pocket. $500 of my advance, but I just bill it to Brandon. The glee the man took in selling out his son was disgusting, and he snatched the envelope from my hands, counting the money.
Well, all right.
Watch how you want to know.
Tell me about your son.
What's the tell?
He's a fucking loser. Didn't go to college, and didn't bother get a real job.
David burped.
No fucking ambition. Just wants to sit around all day.
So I kicked his ass out the moment he turned 18.
So you haven't had much contact with him?
Nope.
No wonder he wanted the money first.
What about your wife? Does she talk to Mark?
Yeah.
She's soft like that.
The dumb broads still think he's not a complete fuck-up.
When I was his age, I was working the docks at the port of Tacoma and making great money.
He grunted, taking a swig.
Well, I was until I hurt my back. Every year the bastards try to take my disability away.
Does your wife ever tell you anything about what he's been up to?
This about what happened at the Buy Best?
David swirled his beer, the liquid sloshing in the bottom.
Not directly. I can't divulge any details, but your son has crossed my client's path. Still can't believe my son's a wanted terrorist. Had the police here yesterday. And the FBI is coming by this afternoon to talk to me and Sandy.
He grunted. The stupid cunt thinks this is all a big misunderstanding. I wanted to punch him so hard in the face.
So you don't know anything about how me makes people do things?
You mean that funny gas he used?
Fuck if I know. The kid didn't have good grades. Mark was an all-around fuck-up.
I sighed. This was a complete waste of time.
Was your son into the occult?
You know, magic or new age, that sort of stuff.
You mean that D&D game he wasted all his time playing instead of studying?
Not really.
I meant like getting into Wiccan or that sort of thing.
I don't know.
Not that I saw.
But it's been, 10 years since I seen him.
So how the fuck should I know what shit he's into?
I pulled a card out of my wallet.
Well, if you or your wife thinks of anything, call this number.
Sure.
I could see the dollar signs forming in his head.
Well, I need to get going.
Yeah.
Close the door on the way out.
I did.
What an asshole. I walked back to my car. What a fucking waste of time this was. I was running out of leads, so I decided to head back to Brandon's house to continue my surveillance.
Chapter 3. As the tyrants reveled in Seattle, celebrating their engagements, the Order of Mary Magdalene had caught their foul trail. Sister Louise Afra began her reconnaissance, planning her attack to take down the warlocks. She had never failed to exorcise her target. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Mark Glasner, Seattle, Washington. I woke up with a splitting headache beneath a soft comforter. Strawberry blonde hair filled my vision and a woman's soft ass pressed back into my cock.
Mary?
Right, her hair was reddish? Christ, my head hurt too much to think. My cock was hard with morning wood and Mary's ass felt so nice. I shifted, my cock pressing between her sweet thighs. I rubbed it against her pussy and pushed into her hot depths. She moaned with a low, smoky voice as I started to fuck her.
Mary?
I mumbled, that didn't sound like her, the voice was too low to be my Mary's. My mind slowly began to work again, and I remembered that Mary's hair wasn't strawberry blonde, it was a darker auburn.
Yeah, hun.
A sleepy voice murmured behind me, and another female body pressed up against my back.
Who am I fucking?
I asked my fiancé.
One of the waitresses.
She answered, her breasts soft and nipples hard on my back. Her hand stroked my side, resting on my hip.
Waitresses?
I asked, and then last night came back in broken pieces. I had proposed to Mary atop the Space Needle, and she had said yes. My heart had beat for joy. To celebrate, I had arranged for only the beautiful women of the wait staff of the Space Needle's restaurant to remain, naked and willing. We had one wild orgy. Drunk on champagne, Mary and I had used and abused three of the waitresses, a raven-haired beauty named Corinna, a blonde Swede named Ingrid and Xio, the Chinese girl. I vaguely recalled fucking her ass hard and her loving it.
And? Mare?
I asked, fucking the strawberry blonde girl slowly.
Did I make the Asian waitress our sex slave?
Yeah.
Mary answered, gently kissing the back of my neck. She really got off on being hurt.
Did we make any of the other girls slaves?
I asked, struggling to remember. After ass fucking Xio, the rest of the night was just blurry pieces.
drinking champagne out of someone's cunt, watching them marry in a daisy chain. And a wild ride in a limo, fucking Fiona through the sunroof for all the world to see. Fiona, that was the name of the strawberry blonde girl I was fucking. She was one of the three other waitresses that had served Lana and Chantel, our newly wedded sex slaves we met yesterday. MHH, master's cock feels good in my twat. Fiona moaned, sliding my hand up to her breast and wiggling her hips as I fucked her. Guess we did, Mary said. Geez, I don't remember much of last night. Except, I think I gave Shio a Brazilian wax using a candle. And that the dirty slut came while I did it. Mary's hand slid down my waist, and she squeezed my buttock, then her hand slid down into my crack and she teased my asshole. I tensed. What are you doing, Mare? Sure, just relax, I've always wanted to try this, but I never had the courage to with Mike. Mary whispered, and then I jumped as she jammed her finger up my ass. It felt weird, and her finger slid deeper and I fucked my hips into Fiona, trying to get away from her invading digit. And then she touched something sensitive. Electricity shot through my body and my vision darkened as I came so hard in Fiona's cunt. Holy shit! I moaned. What the fuck did you do, Mare? She giggled. I found your prostate. Did it make you come hard, hun? I read in a magazine that it was the guy's G-spot. Yeah, but I'm not sure I liked it. I said, frowning. I came hard, but it just didn't seem right to have anything shoved back up there. It felt weird. Mary laughed. You should try feeling a cock sliding up your ass then. No, thanks. I said, rolling over, pulling my cock out of Fiona's cunt. She moaned in disappointment, then started to masturbate. I hugged Mary to me and kissed her on the lips. Good morning, love. I told her after the kiss. I feel pretty dirty. Mary confided. My mouth tastes like sour pussy. Wanna take a shower with me? She arched her eyebrows. I grinned and slid out of the bed. We were in a luxurious suite in the Four Seasons Hotel in Seattle. I had Allison, our sex slave, make the reservations on Friday. The clock on the nightstand read 3:11 p.m. I stretched and surveyed the room. It was a mess. We must have trashed the place last night. I found another waitress passed out on the other side of Mary. She was a big-breasted, raven-haired girl with a doll's face named Corina. On the floor, she lay tied up with white twine and a beer bottle stuck up her ass. She gave me the happiest smile as she wiggled on the floor. Morning, master and mistress. Shio cooed. The twine that bound her was dug into her skin and her wrists were bound behind her back. Christ, the girl did like it rough. Where's Chantel and Lana? I asked. We had met the two ladies yesterday while orca watching. They had been on their honeymoon when Mary took a liking to them, so we made them our sex slaves. And now, apparently, we had three more. We were growing quite the harem. I think you let them have their own suite, Mary said, rubbing at her forehead. So they could continue their honeymoon. I want to say you gave them a week to have fun before they had to come home. Mary eyed me up and down, giving me a considering look. Mark, I think you've lost some weight. You're looking more fit. Really? I looked down and my belly looked flatter. Since I made my pact with the devil, I felt a lot healthier. Maybe it was all the calories I was burning with sex, or maybe my wish to live a long, healthy life was slowly having its effect. Or maybe this was Mary's pact. She did wish us to stay young and beautiful, and I was hardly beautiful, or even handsome. I picked up Mary, cradling her in my arms. Giggling, she threw an arm around my neck, and I carried my fiancé across the room and into the bathroom. It was huge. A large shower sat next to a jacuzzi-style bathtub that could easily fit six or seven adults. With a hiss, the shower turned on and we stepped in. The shower was warm and wet, and so was Mary. She was a stunning beauty, her auburn hair wet and plastered to her fair skin. Freckles dotted her face, shoulders, and round, pert breasts. Her nipples were hard and dusky. My eyes followed the curves of her hip and plump ass. Her pubic hair had been waxed, save for a fiery heart above her slit. Looking good, Mare? I grinned, soaping my hands. She turned, offering me her ass. If you like how I look so much, why don't you make sure I'm squeaky clean? My pleasure. I smiled, groping her plump but cheeks. Mary Sullivan. We soaped each other, caressing the other's body under the pretense of washing. My nipples hardened as Mark played with them, and his cock throbbed as I washed his balls and stroked his cock. Feeling naughty, I knelt before him and took his cock lovingly into my mouth, sucking his girth while I fondled with his heavy balls. God, I love you. He moaned as I sucked and bobbed. I was happy to give him this pleasure. I worked more and more of his cock into my mouth as the warm water fell on us. He brushed the back of my throat and I relaxed, swallowing his cock until my lips pressed all the way to his pubes. I swallowed, constricting my throat about his cock before pulling back. Then I deep-throated him again. Oh, fuck! Mark groaned. I love it when you do that. And I loved kneeling before him, looking up at the lust in his blue eyes while his pre-cum leaked into my mouth. I was so happy that I met Mark. We were going to have so much fun together. His balls tightened and I drew my mouth back up his shaft until only the tip remained between my lips. I'm gonna come, Mare! I sucked harder, swirling my tongue about the tip of his cock, eager for his cum. He groaned, leaning back against the wall. And then he erupted his wonderful cum into my mouth with a low grunt. I swallowed as shot after shot flooded my lips. Fuck, fuck, fuck! He groaned as the last blast shot into my lips. I slid my mouth off his cock, then tongued the slit to get out that last drop of his cum. I smiled up at him and he returned a boyish grin. God, I love you. he moaned as I stood up.
I smiled, and threw my arms around his neck, kissing him with cum on my lips. He would never let a slut kiss him with his spunk staining her lips, but he didn't care with me. He loved me so much, he was happy to kiss me at any time.
You are the best, he panted when I broke the kiss.
I know, I grinned. Let me repay you, he told me. You need to come just as hard. He was such a sweetie. He knelt down before me, the shower rolling down his body. He was definitely losing weight and muscles were forming. He was turning into quite the hunk. He spread my thighs and I smiled down at him, putting all the love and lust I could into my gaze.
You are a magnificent woman, he said. You're willing to share my lusts and perversions, and brave enough to indulge in your own perversions with me. And you are quite the stud,
I moaned.
Make me come, Mark. Make your filly cry out in bliss.
Gladly. He buried his tongue in me, sliding through my wonderful folds. I moaned like a wanton hussy, his tongue sucking on my labia then brushed my aching clit. I gripped his short, brown hair, guiding his lips to where I wanted to be kissed.
Eat my pussy, I moaned.
Oh, it feels so fucking good.
You're wonderful.
He devoured me. His tongue explored my twat, searching out every sensitive spot inside my pussy. He found my clit and lashed it with his tongue. My moans and sighs echoed through the shower. The pleasure was so intense. I squeezed my tits as I shuddered. I lifted my right leg, draping it over his shoulders. I shuddered, the heel of my foot sliding across his back as I shivered and gasped. He made love to my pussy, giving me such great pleasure. It swelled inside me.
Oh, fuck. Eat me. Make your filly come.
Mark shoved his tongue deep into my hole, fucking me with his tongue, coaxing more and more pleasure out of me. I was on the cusp. And then I exploded. My heel dug into his back as my moans grew shrill. I writhed as I came, my juices squirting out of me. Mark held me as my body slipped. I would have fallen down, but he held me, his lips locked to my cunt. He prolonged my bliss. He gave me as much pleasure as I could take. I loved him so much. But I needed more than his tongue.
Oh, that was nice.
I breathed, staring down at him.
But your cock would feel so much better in my pussy.
Mark Glasner. I didn't need to be told twice. I pulled myself up with the shower bar, Mary's arms wrapping about me. We kissed, my lips sticky with her sweet, spicy musk. One of her hands grasped my cock and guided me to her wet hole. She rubbed it around until she found the entrance. I thrust. I loved being in her. I buried all the way into her depths, resting in her velvet warmth. I savored my fiancée's pleasant embrace, her flesh writhing about me. I wanted to just stay like this forever inside her. Kissing her. Loving her. But my lust grew too great. I pulled back and thrust in again. Our wet groins slapped together as we made love in the steam. She bucked beneath me, her hands roaming my broad back, sliding down to squeeze my ass. Our kiss broke and my lips found the gentle slope of her neck.
You're so tight and wonderful, I moaned into her ear. My wet filly!
Her tongue was wet on my ear.
Make me come, my great stallion! Make me erupt!
I pressed her back against the shower wall, grabbed the shower bar for support, and fucked her with a passionate urgency. Mary writhed on my cock, her arms clawing at my back in passion. Her legs wrapped around my waist, holding me tight as my hands grabbed her silky rear.
Come for me, I whispered, my balls tightening. Let me feel your orgasm on my cock. Suck my balls dry.
Mary bucked in my embrace, her cunt milking my cock, desperate for my seed. With a groan, I obliged her and shot my cum hot and thick into her womb.
Oh fuck, I love that feeling, she moaned. There's nothing better than your guy shooting his hot passion into you. There's something to be said about the loving embrace of a woman,
I retorted, savoring the last caresses of her pussy as my cock softened in her depths.
Hmm.
She sighed, nuzzling my neck. I sat her down, my cock popping out. We kissed for a few minutes, but then the pressure in my bladder grew too great. I was in the shower, so I turned away from her and relaxed, pissing down the drain.
That's disgusting, Mark!
She gasped, her eyes fixed on my cock.
What? You never piss in the shower?
She shook her head.
God, that's what toilets are for, Mark! Christ, what's wrong with you? Sorry, it's what I've always done.
I shrugged, my stream dying.
Well, not in my shower, mister,
she said, hands on hips.
Especially if I'm in the shower with you.
Fine, fine, I said. She stepped out of the shower and dried off.
Are you getting out? Nah, it's nice in here, why don't you come back in?
I leered.
The pee all washed down the drain.
I gotta pee, so would you mind?
I don't mind,
I answered.
Fine,
she said, green eyes tightening with annoyed before she sat down on the toilet.
I stared at her and she flushed red.
Don't look. I've seen you do some damn perverted things, Mare.
I told her.
Is watching you pee the line you won't cross? She peered suspiciously at me. You're not going to want me to pee on you, next? She asked. Or do you want to pee on me?
No,
I said with a chuckle. That's pretty nasty.
Good, that's the line,
she said, her urine splashing in the bowl. If you want to do that sort of thing, use one of the sluts.
An image of Allison writhing on the floor as I pissed, moaning in pleasure, as I degraded her slutty body with my urine, filled my mind. My cock throbbed. Maybe I had to try that one day. Mary stood up and grabbed some toilet paper and swiped it through her pussy lips before flushing the toilet. She leaned over, her pale,
plump ass wiggling at me, and she turned the jacuzzi tub on. The water poured in, steam rising up. She waited for the water to fill up, and slid in. Then the water started bubbling, and she adjusted herself. She smiled broadly and writhed in the jacuzzi. "Did you find one of the jets?" She nodded slowly. "Come join me," she said, waving an arm. I shut off the shower and slid into the warm, bubbling water of the jacuzzi next to Mary, wrapping an arm around her. "We're going to need a bigger house," I said.
"What?"
she asked, voice thick with passion. "Well, if we keep increasing the number of sluts we have, the Fitzsimmons' house is going to get crowded. We'll build a big mansion," Mary said, "with dozens of rooms.
And what'll we do with so many sluts?
Put them to work. I've been thinking about this. They can cook, clean, tend the stables."
"Stables?"
I asked. "For the horses," she said, rolling her eyes. She was fond of doing that when I asked a stupid question.
"And they can do the landscape and make us money."
"Oh, how?" I asked.
"Do we keep their paychecks?"
"No, no," Mary said, shaking her head. "We can whore them out. Men'll pay good money to sleep with our sluts." My cock stirred at the thought of all our sweet sluts spreading their legs for money.
"I like that idea," I said, stroking Mary's thigh and bending over to kiss her freckled shoulder.
Mary moaned into the kiss as her hand found my cock beneath the bubbling water.
"I can tell how much you like the idea,"
she said, wickedly, as she stroked my cock a few times. Then she straddled my waist, skillfully maneuvering my cock, and slid down on my hard length. I groaned in pleasure as her silky, tight pussy engulfed my cock.
"Sometimes I wish that we could just stay like this forever," she moaned. "My pussy impaled on my horny stallion."
I kissed her lips, my hands fondled her firm breasts, and thought there could be no sweeter way to spend eternity.
"I love you, Mare," I whispered.
She smiled and leaned into my chest.
"I love you too, Mark."
She kissed me, deep and passionate.
"Well, I have a friend who's a real estate broker. I could see her, find us some land,"
Mary suggested, when she broke the kiss.
"Yeah, okay,"
I answered, her cunt gently squeezing my cock.
"We'll need cash."
"No, we don't.
You just tell people what to do and we'll have what we need,"
Mary objected.
"I can't be everywhere,"
I pointed out.
"Well, I figure I would have to eventually rob a bank."
"Oh, you're such a bad boy," Mary cooed, and twisted her hips pleasantly on my cock. She was getting off on the idea. I vaguely recalled hitting a guy last night. He had insulted Mary, and she had fucked me passionately afterward. Maybe Mary had a thing for bad boys. I could be plenty bad for her.
Chapter 4. Complete subservience is the greatest gift a woman can give. Whether it is to your master or your mistress, submit fully and embrace every moment of pain, humiliation, and depravity they heap upon you. True happiness is found in complete slavery. The Epistle of Sho 1:1. Corina Stavris.
"I have to pee so bad,"
Fiona muttered, gazing longingly at the bathroom. Master and mistress were still in there. I squeezed my thighs.
"Me too,"
mistress moaned, drifted through the door. It sounded like they were having a good time.
"Maybe we can go in there," Fiona whispered.
I nodded.
"I'm not sure I can hold it any longer."
They had been in there for so long. Who knows how much longer they would be. I didn't think I was going to be able to hold it any longer. Would they be mad? Being a sex slave was such a new experience. Yesterday, I had simply been a waitress struggling to make ends meet, and now I was the toy of the most amazing man and most beautiful woman in the world.
"You're smiling," giggled Fiona. "You're thinking about them, aren't you?"
I nodded.
"We're so lucky to serve them. They chose me, you, and Sho. We're better than Wanda, Hannah, and Ingrid. Ingrid always thought she was the shit."
Sho laughed. She was still tied up on the floor, the beer bottle shoved up her ass. I never knew just how dirty a slut she was. Then again, I didn't realize how dirty I was. Some of the things I did last night were still blowing my mind. I had never used my big boobs to fuck a guy before. It was a lot of fun. I hoped Master wanted another titty fuck.
"Master didn't say we couldn't use the restroom,"
Fiona pointed out. I nodded, my bladder screaming for release.
"Let's go."
I almost ran to the bathroom, stepping over the bound Sho, and Fiona was hot on my heels. I grabbed the doorknob and threw the door open. Master and mistress were in the jacuzzi, mistress straddling Master's waist and riding him hard. She gasped as I raced in and plopped on the toilet. My pee flowed immediately, and a great, big sigh of relief escaped my lips as my urine streamed out of me, emptying my bladder. I glanced at them and mistress was gaping at me over Master's shoulder.
"Well, she's not shy," Master commented.
"Sorry, Master," I apologized, rising up to wipe my pussy clean. Master watched, and that made me grew a little wet.
"I really had to go."
"I have to go too, Master,"
Fiona said, shifting her weight.
"Oh, of course,"
mistress said in exasperation. I flinched, knowing I was in trouble. I stepped aside to let Fiona take my place.
"Stop, sluts,"
mistress ordered.
"Corina, you can't just walk in and pee in front of your mistress. Especially when I'm making love with Mark."
I flinched even harder, her green eyes boring into me.
"Sorry, mistress. Get in the shower,"
she ordered.
"For your punishment, Fiona is going to pee on you."
I felt sick, but I obeyed without hesitation. I wanted to be a good slut, and a good slut does whatever her master or mistress commands, no matter how sick or degrading. Fiona, with an evil grin, squatted over me.
Through her open legs I could see Master and Mistress watching intently, bringing an excited blush to my cheeks. A yellow stream of urine shot out of Fiona's urethra and splashed on my face. I flinched, closing my eyes as urine soaked my hair and face, running down to my large breasts and stomach.
"Oh fuck, that's disgusting," Mistress panted. "Corinna, you're a dirty whore."
Water sloshed in the jacuzzi as Mistress rode Master's cock.
"Dirty, nasty pee slut. Oh fuck, I'm coming. I thought pee was disgusting."
Master chuckled. "Your little pussy seemed to love it, Mare."
"Oh, it is,"
Mistress panted.
"So disgusting. What are you, Corinna?"
"A dirty, nasty pee slut," I answered Mistress, my eyes stinging.
"Yes, you are,"
she moaned.
"Isn't that so hot?"
"Yeah," Master grunted. "Christ, I never got off on water sports before, but watching a woman getting degraded like this is so hot." Excitement flooded through me. If being degraded like this made Master and Mistress excited, then I would let anyone piss on me. I opened my lips, letting the acrid pee splash in my mouth, swallowing it, reveling it in. My pussy became so wet.
"Such a dirty slut," grunted Master.
"Drink all her dirty pee." Fiona's stream died to just a few drips splashing on my cheeks.
"Pee sluts thank their providers with their mouths," Mistress barked. "Lick that dirty pussy, pee slut."
Fiona gasped as I licked her cunt, swiping up her pee, Master's cum, and her pussy juices. Mistress and Fiona had very similar features, both had red hair, though Mistress's was a dark auburn and Fiona's was a light strawberry blonde. Both had freckled faces and breasts. Fiona's tits were larger, and her nipples were a dark red versus the dusky pink of Mistress's nipples. I could almost pretend I was licking my Mistress's pussy.
"Holy shit! I'm coming!" groaned Master.
"Were you thinking about peeing on Corinna?" Mistress asked.
"Yeah."
I wanted Master to pee on me if that would make him happy. I would stare up at him, his cock dangling before me, and let him shower me in piss.
"Me too," Mistress confided. "You still can't pee on me. Only the sluts."
Master laughed.
"Hungry?"
"Yeah, let's get some room service," Master answered. "We don't need to leave Seattle for a few hours.
Fiona, make sure Corinna washes her hair 3 times. Mistress ordered.
"I don't want a trace of pee on her."
"Yes, Mistress,"
Fiona panted, writhing on my tongue working deep in her tasty cunt. It was almost as good as licking Mistress's wonderful pussy. I kept licking and sucking, finding every last trace of pee and cum, swallowing them down. I loved it. I was a pee slut. And a pussy slut. I made love to Fiona's cunt as fiercely as I could, wanting to make her cum. It's what I was ordered to do. And I was a good slut.
"That's it, pee slut," Fiona hissed. "Such a dirty bitch."
"I was.
Lick my pussy. Make me cum."
Her hips writhed on my face, her breasts heaving as her body quaked. Wonderful juices flooded my mouth and I drank them down, savoring her tart flavor and the feel of fiery hair against my cheeks. She gave a few, shuddering gasps, then leaned against the shower wall, panting.
That was great, pee slut. Now you have to wash me."
I grinned.
"And my pussy is so dirty."
Xiaolu. Mistress and Master walked naked from the bathroom, their bodies still a little damp, Fiona's passionate cries echoing behind them. I smiled up at them, wiggling in my restraints and enjoying the beer bottle shoved up my ass. It hurt, and the pain made my pussy so wet. I so wanted to touch it, but I couldn't. My bladder was full, another humiliating discomfort I had to endure, another sensation making my pussy wet. I loved being tied up. The bed creaked as Mistress sat on it. I strained my head to look at her. She put on her beautiful engagement ring, admiring it with a happy smile on her face. She was so lucky to have the love of Master. He was such a great man.
"I think you need your pussy cleaned, Mare,"
Master said as he stood over me, his cock half hard. A nasty smile crossed Mistress's lips.
"What should I use?"
To my utter delight, Master grabbed me, lifting me easily. I was tiny and, despite my huge tits, I only weighed 93 pounds. He threw me on the bed before Mistress. Her legs spread and dripping Master's white cum, Master shoved me forward so my face was buried in her messy snatch, and he smacked my ass hard.
"Start licking, slut."
"Thank you, Mark,"
Mistress moaned as I eagerly lapped at her dirty pussy. I savored the taste of cum and her sweet, spicy juices, digging deep into her pussy to get every last bit of Master's seed. Mistress's hand grabbed my hair, pulling hard so wonderful and worked my face around her pussy, guiding where she wanted me to lick her. It was easier to hold my bladder when I had a delicious pussy to eat.
"Hi, room service,"
Master said into the hotel's phone.
"Yeah, can you send up 5 hamburgers, fries, and some bottles of beer up to our room?"
Mistress guided me to her clitoris. My tongue flicked rapidly across her bud as she squealed in delight. I loved pleasuring my mistress. She was the most beautiful woman in the world, and Master was the most powerful man. And I was allowed to serve them. Me. An immigrant from China. America truly was the land of opportunity.
"How do you want your burger, Mare?"
"Oh, medium rare,"
she panted.
"Yeah, all 5 medium rare."
"Yeah, that's fine for the beer."
"Okay, good. We're working up quite an appetite. And can you send up a cute girl to deliver it?"
Mistress laughed.
"Really? All your wait staff are guys or fat chicks?"
Master sighed.
"What about that hot night concierge?"
Master chuckled.
"You're right. The middle of the day. No, no. You clearly don't sound like a hot chick.
All right, just send up the food. The phone clattered as he hung it up.
I guess you can't have everything.
Mistress purred.
Well, I have enough women up here to satisfy me.
He chuckled.
Barely.
He climbed on the bed, straddling my legs. Then he ripped the beer bottle out of my ass. I moaned in disappointment. I loved that his cock buried into my ass hard and brutal, bringing tears to my eyes. I loved it. The pain went straight to my pussy, taking my passions from a simmer to a full burn. He pounded me without mercy. Master knew what I loved, and he gave it to me. How could I ask for a better master? I worshipped my mistress's pussy with my mouth, and let my ass worship my master's cock. His every thrust was rapture mixed with agony. I gasped and moaned into her pussy, my tongue licking and sucking.
Such a fucking whore!
Master growled.
Your ass is so tight. You love it when I fuck your unloved ass.
I wanted to tell him how much I loved his pounding cock, but my mouth was full of delicious pussy. So I moaned loudly.
Yeah, you love it. You're a dirty slut.
I love it.
I love all my dirty sluts.
Master loved me. My orgasm exploded through me, my asshole clenching around his cock, my muscles fighting to keep my bladder under control. I gasped and moaned into mistress, and her hands pulled me so tight into her pussy I was almost drowning. What a wonderful way to go, suffocating in mistress's pussy while master painfully fucks my ass.
Oh fuck!
Mistress groaned.
Eat my cunt!
Oh yes!
Thank you, Mark! Thank you for giving me all these delightful sluts to use and abuse!
I drank every drop of pussy juices that flooded her cunt when she exploded. I didn't want to waste a single iota. Every last particle was precious and I was so fortunate that my unworthy mouth was allowed to imbibe her fluids.
Fuck, fuck, fuck!
Master grunted.
I love it when a slut comes on my cock!
Flood her ass.
The little whore wants it! Don't you?
She let go of my head.
Yes, mistress.
I do.
Even though my ass is unworthy of you. He buried into me, then erupted with three wonderful, hot blasts of cum. He grunted in his satisfaction, his body collapsing atop mine as he panted and groaned. I squeezed my bowels on his softening cock, loving the filthy feel of cum buried inside me. The bathroom door opened and Fiona and Corina giggled.
You fucked her good, huh, Master?
Fiona asked.
Yes, I did.
Master sounded so proud, and joy filled me. I was their slut. Doug Allard, South Hill, Washington. I turned onto Brandon Street of Shaw Road, driving past the expensive houses. I parked on the curb a few houses down from my employer's house. I blinked in surprise. Brandon's car was parked in front of his next-door neighbor's. I studied the car. There was someone in the driver's seat. I grabbed my door handle, about to go out and speak to my employer, when I realized it was a woman with curly, brown hair in his car. I frowned. I was pretty sure that was Brandon's BMW, but I guessed there could be more than one black, 7 Series in this neighborhood. I sat back and watched Brandon's house. Mark's Mustang wasn't in the driveway, and I wondered if he had moved on. He had been up in Seattle and Anacortes yesterday. Well, there was nothing I could do but watch and wait. The woman in the BMW did the same. I had been on enough stakeouts to recognize one. Who the fuck was this woman? Curious, I ran her license plate through the DOL website. It came back as Brandon's car. Did he hire another PI? What was going on? I felt out of the loop, so I gave him a call.
Hey, Mr. Fitzsimmons, it's Doug.
Hi.
He answered.
So, I'm staking out your house and there's a woman watching it in your car. What's going on?
Brandon chuckled.
She's going to ruin Mark's day and put this entire mess to bed.
I didn't like the sound of that.
Is it?
I trailed off realizing I shouldn't know about anything illegal if this all blows up.
She's a nun who specializes in what Mark is. She knows how to evade his gas.
I see.
A nun?
I had an inkling that something supernatural was going on with Mark.
Is she going to exorcise him?
Something like that. Brandon chuckled.
He'll go to jail for all the shit he's pulled and I'll have my wife back.
You sound different than last time we spoke.
More like yourself?
She set me free this morning. I was under that bastard's control. One of his thralls, but she freed me.
So, what do you want me to do?
Watch.
Brandon growled.
I want to make sure she takes down Mark. And I want to hear all the details.
All right.
I sighed.
As long as it's not illegal or nothing.
No, no.
Perfectly legal. And I'll see that you are handsomely paid.
My stomach told me to get out, but damn if I didn't want that money.
Okay. I'll keep watching.
I hung up. As long as I didn't see anything illegal, it would be fine. And if I did, well, then I'll be reporting to the cops. No way I'm going down for Brandon Fitzsimmons.
Chapter 5.
H. Smiling Fox, the party was wild. I had a blast. Mark showed us what true freedom was, Jessica. J. St. Pierre, wow. And it doesn't bother you that he drugged you.
H.S. Not one bit.
He showed me such wonderful delights and opened my eyes.
JP, how?
HS, to what we really are. Creatures that were made to love each other. There shouldn't be divisions between us.
JP, so you don't think you're a victim of Mark Glasner?
HP, absolutely not.
JP, and what about the three women he kidnapped?
Your coworkers Fiona, Shio, and Corina?
HP, they weren't kidnapped.
They were lucky. Mark chose to keep them.
Ooh, I wish I had been chosen.
Transcript from Cairo 7 Interview of Hannah Smiling Fox by Jessica St. Pierre, Monday, June 10, 2013. Mary Sullivan, Seattle, Washington.
All clean, mistress.
Fiona reported to me as she crawled on the bed, snuggling against me.
Good.
I smiled, and reached out and fondled her breast. Mark pulled out of Shio's ass with a groan, white cum leaking out of our tied-up, Chinese slut's asshole. He moved up the bed and lay beside me, sandwiching me between him and Fiona, his strong arm going around my shoulders.
Clean his cock, slut.
I ordered, pinching Fiona's nipple.
It's all dirty.
Yes, mistress. She gasped, and crawled across Shio and me. She grasped Mark's cock, then licked it slowly, savoring the taste of Shio's ass as she cleaned my fiancé's cock.
Corina, free Shio.
Mark ordered.
Yes, master.
Our doll-faced slut moved to Shio, and I loved the way her heavy breasts bounced and swayed as she struggled to free the tightly bound Shio. The rope left tight marks in her skin, slowly turning from white to red as her blood flowed again. The delightful slut couldn't resist tonguing Shio's ass and gathering up Mark's cum that had leaked out. Once free, Shio knelt on the bed.
Master, mistress, may I use the restroom?
Yes, you may. I answered. Mark had his eyes closed and was far too wrapped up in Fiona's blowjob to care. Shio bolted to the bathroom.
Why don't you get in there?
Fiona taunted Corina, lifting her mouth from Mark's cock.
And let Shio piss on you.
I will if master or mistress commands it. Corina flushed.
You should have felt how eager she was to lick the piss out of my cunt.
Fiona sneered. Corina was flushed with anger. I slapped Fiona's ass hard. It was such a wonderful feeling and made this delightful sound.
Enough of that, bitch. You are just as dirty a slut as she is. Maybe next time Corina will piss on you.
Sorry, mistress. Fiona muttered, going back to cleaning Mark's cock. Corina smiled, pleased at Fiona's rebuke. She snuggled up against me, laying her porcelain face on my freckled breasts. Mark gave a groan, shoved Fiona's mouth all the way down his cock as he flooded her lips with his cum.
Thank you, master.
Fiona purred, looking up. He glared at her.
When you're sucking my cock, you don't stop to insult your fellow slut sister. No, go over there and share my cum with her.
Yes, master. She contritely said and walked around the bed and gave Corina a nice, big kiss full of cum. Shio re-entered the room as someone knocked at the door.
Get the door, Shio.
I ordered.
And give the man a nice tip with your mouth.
Yes, mistress. Shio replied with a shy smile, and opened the hotel room door naked. The bellhop gasped in surprise and Shio giggled, and soon the bellhop was moaning in pleasure as the rest of us dug into the juicy hamburgers and crispy fries. My pussy itched. It was exciting whoring out my sluts.
Oh, fuck, that's good.
Mark mumbled around a mouthful of burger as Shio rejoined the rest of us, cum staining her lips. A few splatters of white had dripped down onto her large tits. Her nipples were hard, pierced by a silver chain from which pink butterflies dangled. Fiona handed Shio a burger, and she hungrily bit into it. Mark had wolfed his burger down faster than the rest and retired to the comfy armchair, sipping a beer. He was watching us eat, and I smiled at him. Corina took the last bite of her burger, and I motioned over to Mark. She smiled, understanding shining in her deep, blue eyes. My fiancé's cock hardened as Corina walked sensuously over to him.
Is that sausage for me?
Corina asked, straddling his waist, her heavy tits swinging in front of his mouth.
Yeah, slut,
he said, guiding his cock to the wet entrance of her cunt. I smiled as she sat down onto his cock and slowly fucked him, nuzzling and kissing at his neck. Mark smiled at me over his shoulder and mouthed,
I love you.
I beamed, then finished off my beer. My eyes wandered over to Shio, and I reached out and rubbed her ass, remembering how we found the little slut when we woke up.
Lay down on your stomach,
I ordered.
Yes, mistress,
Shio said eagerly, wiggling her tiny ass. I shoved the beer bottle hard up her ass and fucked it in and out of her bowels.
You like that, slut?
I asked.
You like things shoved up your whorish ass, don't you, slut?
Yes, yes, I love it, she moaned. When we get home, I'm going to put on a strap-on with the biggest dildo and just fuck the shit out of your ass, I hissed.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, mistress,
Shio moaned.
Tie me up and fuck my ass. Please, mistress. I'm a dirty whore who needs to be treated like shit.
Man, Shio is fucked up, Mark chuckled. I'm pretty sure I didn't tell Shio to be into any of that.
I'm a dirty slut that's always loved to be hurt and tied up,
Shio panted. I worked the bottle faster and faster out of her ass a few times until I couldn't stand the itch in my pussy any longer. I left the bottle buried in her ass and grabbed Fiona, kissing her fiercely, and rolling on top of her. My dark red hair fell about her strawberry blonde. Fiona spread her legs, wrapping them around my hips and pulling my pussy against her. I loved tribbing. I fucked my little slut hard, savoring the silky feel of her bush rubbing against my cunt as Mark and Corina grunted in the background.
I love watching women trib,
Mark groaned.
You two are so beautiful. It's hot watching Fiona's red furred muff slide against yours, Mare. I love to feel it.
I moaned, humping my slut faster.
Naughty filly.
Mark chuckled.
Does my naughty cunt feel good on your cock, master?
Corina moaned.
Oh yeah. So tight, so wet. Come in my pussy, master,
she panted. The slap of flesh grew louder as Corina fucked my fiancé faster.
Oh, come in me, please. Here it comes, slut,
Mark groaned.
Yes, yes. Thank you for coming in me, master.
I writhed my hips faster and faster against Fiona,
desperate to come again. I loved it. I wanted to come all the time. Whether with Mark or someone else, I wanted to be awash in pleasure. I was free of all those petty concerns. I could fuck whomever I wanted and no one could stop me or judge me. Mark and I were free. I spasmed atop Fiona, my pussy squirting juices as I came hard. So wonderful. Her thighs tightened about my waist. Her body shook beneath me. She gasped and purred, adding her own flood of juices to mine, making a wonderful, sticky mess. I rolled off her, panting. That was wonderful. You're welcome, mistress. Purred Fiona. Want to switch? Mark asked, grinning at me over Karina's shoulder. Of course. I smiled. Send that foxy bitch over here. I want to eat your cum out of her pussy. Sister Lee's Afra, South Hill, Washington. For 5 hours I had been watching the Fitzsimmons house. A long, boring 5 hours spent sitting in a Brandon's BMW a few houses down the street. I promised to save his wife and he lent me his car. He had wanted to help, burning with anger to get back at Mark, but it was too dangerous for him. Anger still seethed in me after listening to Brandon Fitzsimmons' story this morning. He had told me everything he knew about the warlock Mark and his thralls Mary and Allison. Why did every warlock with mind control powers from harems? Even the women did it. I could still remember when Suzanne had made me her thrall 50 years ago, the first of her harem. 5 hours and nothing had happened. Neighbors came and went, and once a pink-haired girl who must be Allison took out the garbage. She was dressed as some cheap French maid. Part of me wished I was back in the hotel with Sarai. She had been one of the wildest lovers I had ever had. But I had my duty, and she had her job to return to. My phone rang. Hello? Hi, Sister Louise. Sister Theodora said. Oh, hi. I brightened, remembering the beautiful blonde and all the fun we had after I saved her from Kurt all those years ago. What's up? How's the hunt for the warlock going? Good. I found two of his thralls, but he's been MIA all day. I heard he's been all over Washington State. He caused quite the mess at the Space Needle last night. What mess? I asked. Some wild party he threw at the Space Needle. She answered. There are missing waitresses and tens of thousands of dollars in damages. She paused. Be careful. This guy is out of control. I've never heard of a warlock being so bold. He's robbed stores, molested women in broad daylight. And he has fangirls. There's a whole group on Facebook spouting how much they love the guy. Some haven't even been touched by him. He has more thralls than. I whispered. The missing waitresses must be part of his harem now. I needed to take risks to turn the tide. I'm going to imprint the two thralls I've been watching. Well, I'll let you go then. Good luck and in God's blessing. Thank you, sister. Mark was up in Seattle. I had an opening that I shouldn't pass up. But I should make sure, just in case he hasn't been lying low in the Fitzsimmons house. I called the number Brandon gave me. It rang a few times, then a sultry woman with a Hispanic accent picked up. Hi, I'm Valerie. I said in my best Valley Girl accent. Is Mark there? I tots need to talk to him. No, Mireille is not here. Oh? I said, trying to sound disappointed and hung up. I smiled, I could handle two thralls. I climbed out of the car. Today I was wearing a flowery, pink dress with a low-cut bodice and pleated, short skirt, and no panties. I wore my favorite pairs of boots, white, knee-high and heeled. They were my favorite because I loved how the boots made my ass full and curvy when I walked. I rang the doorbell and tensed my body. I would need to move quick when the door opened. After a few heartbeats, a beautiful, very busted Latina woman opened the door who I guess must be Desiree. She was wearing a slutty version of a French maid's outfit, with a transparent bodice and a short, frilly skirt that would slit up to reveal her ass if she ever bent over. Hola? Desiree asked, a friendly, questioning smile on her face. A blue-black aura glistened sickly about her, stronger than the one that had afflicted her husband. She was deep in Mark's power. It was time to change that. I struck. Chapter 6. As the living gods celebrated their love in Seattle, a serpent nested in their home. Sister Kuntrag wormed her evil into the hearts of faithful Desiree and Allison. The Gospel of April 9:35. Violet Matheson, Seattle, Washington. I turned the TV off. There was nothing to watch. It was so boring in the hotel room. My mother snored on the bed next to mine, sleeping on her side. She had dragged me to this business conference in Seattle so she could keep an eye on me. For the last year and a half I could hardly escape her after she caught me in summer. I squeezed my eyes tight, not wanting to think about that day in the room with the heat lamps. I didn't want to be in Seattle. I wanted to stay home in Portland. But mother didn't trust me out of her sight any longer. She was so domineering I had to take my college courses over the internet. When she left for work, she locked me in my bedroom. No daughter of mine will be a filthy lesbian, she would say. And if objected, she'd be disappointed and have to lock me in the room with the heat lamps. I shuddered, hating myself for being afraid. I was 19. I should be my own woman now, not cowering in fear of my mother and her prejudices. Let the light purify your sinful soul, she would say, a smile on her face, when she would force me into the room full of all those heat lamps shining down on me. It's for your own good. I love you, Violet. But I couldn't help feeling attracted to other women. With their smooth skin and beautiful breasts and gorgeous legs, how could I resist? My rebellious pussy grew an itch, urging my hand to reach down and stroke it. I refused the urge.
Mother would tie me to the bed to keep my hands from doing something so nasty. I rolled onto my side, trying to ignore the ache as Summer's face swam up in my mind. So beautiful. Her kisses were so soft, her touch so sweet. My hand inched between my legs. Mother snored, turning over. Fear shot through me. I needed to get out of here. Just for a little bit. I could go for a walk. I could be free for a few minutes. Mother was sleeping. She'd never know I was gone. I could find a nice, quiet place, like the bathroom in the lobby, and have a nice, quick Jill. My pussy needed to be touched so bad. I stood up, smoothing my conservative dress, pushing one of my pigtails back over my shoulder, and crept to the door. I grabbed my rhinestone studded jacket, slipping it on. I made sure my keycard was in the jacket's pocket. It was. I carefully opened the door and slipped out. I was free. I walked to the elevator, a smile on my face, and hit the down button, pressing my thighs together in anticipation of the release I was going to have. Mark Glasner.
Where are your clothes?
I asked as I pulled on a pair of jeans.
We didn't bring them, Master.
Shio answered. Flashes of last night rose out of the drunken fog.
Ooh, being naked sounds like fun.
Mary laughed.
We can do what we want. And it's a beautiful day outside.
Mary was right, we were so much more than other humans. No one could tell us what to do. I told them what to do, and they would obey me. We were beyond morality, good and evil, and all that garbage.
All right.
I shrugged and pulled my pants off, excited to march out naked and let everyone see. I grabbed Shio, she had been tied up again, and threw her over my shoulder. I give her rump a playful slap, she giggled and cooed, and I enjoyed the warmth of her breasts pillowing against my back and the way her long, silky hair brushed my ass.
Madre de Dios!
A Hispanic maid gasped as we stepped into the hallway. She quickly opened a hotel room with her master key and ducked in. A young woman, maybe 18 or 19, waited at the elevator. She took one look at us and turned beet red. She was cute, with brown hair and pigtails tied with pink ribbons. She wore a jean jacket decorated with shiny, pastel rhinestones over a pink, conservative dress. I set the bound Shio down, and Fiona grabbed the slut, helping her hop the rest of the way.
What's your name, sweetie?
I asked as she pressed back against the elevator's steel door. She glanced down at my naked cock and jump, looking quickly up at the ceiling.
V. Violet. She stammered. Don't be afraid.
I told her, stroking her face.
You want to be my elevator slut, right?
She nodded her head, her body relaxing.
What's an elevator slut? An elevator slut takes off her panties and lets her man stick his dick up her tight, juicy cunt.
Mary answered, reaching out to stroke her other cheek. I was amazed to see that Violet could blush even more red as she reached beneath her skirt to pull off a pair of plain, white panties. Mary took them, held them up to her face, and inhaled the scent of fresh cunt. The elevator door dinged open and Violet stumbled inside. I followed her in, pinning Violet to the wall.
I'm going to fuck you so hard.
I whispered into her ear.
You're going to love every single minute of it.
Oh, okay. She timidly answered. I hiked up her skirt and pressed up against her, bending down to find her cunt with my dick. I rubbed it on her lips as the elevator lurched and descended. I found her wet hole and went to push in my cock. A barrier stopped me. She had a membrane stretched across her whole her hymen.
Oh, this was great.
I had enjoyed the last virgin I fucked. I was going to ravish her. I pulled back, and then thrust hard through her maidenhead. She moaned in pain and pleasure, gripping me tight. Her cunt flooded with juices as my command to enjoy the fucking kicked in. She shuddered and kneeled in pleasure.
God, I love virgin cunt!
I moaned, fucking her hard, capturing her pretty little mouth in a kiss. The elevator doors opened a few floors down, and people gasped. Mary moaned, low and liquid. She must have one of the sluts going down on her. I enjoyed Violet's cunt too much to see who Mare was fucking. Every few floors, the elevator would stop and more people would get the shock of their lives. Sadly, no one joined our orgy. Violet's cunt was so tight, her moans of pleasure so sweet, I wasn't going to last long. I hammered her, our flesh slapping together. She was so lithe and hot. My balls boiled and I buried into her.
Fuck yes.
I moaned in her ear as I came in her tight cunt. My cum shuddered out of me, splashing into her hot pussy. Violet gave a mewling gasp and her body shivered, her tight pussy convulsing about my dick. I loved the feel of hot pussy coming about my dick. A sense of pride filled me. I made this virgin whore come hard.
That was nice.
She panted, the elevator stopped, the doors dinging. We had reached the lobby. I pulled out of Violet, turning to face a pair of shocked, middle-aged women.
Ladies,
I said pleasantly, brushing past them, my cock wet with the virgin's cunt. I threw Shio over my shoulder and led my naked women out into the hotel lobby. Everyone froze, not sure what to make of a group of naked people. This being Seattle, they probably thought we were part of some protest group, or part of some public nudity festival. I reached the valet.
You should have a silver Mustang for Mark Glasner.
I told him.
Go and pull it up.
Right away, sir. The young valet swallowed, gaping at all my naked sluts. It seemed Allison's arrangements had worked. Along with the limo she had rented us last night, she had the limo company send someone to drive my Mustang back to the hotel.
Oh, fuck!
A guy shouted as we waited, gaping at us.
There's nothing wrong with being naked in Seattle.
I commanded him.
Yeah.
The guy nodded, but his eyes were still wild.
I am not a terrorist.
I added.
You're not going to call the police?
The guy nodded.
Right. Of course.
He smiled.
Well, have a nice day.
While we waited for the Mustang, Mary had Violet pressed against the cement wall of the parking garage, her fingers playing through the Virgin's messy cunt. I hadn't even realized Violet had followed us.
I gave Mary a questioning look.
She's so cute.
Mary cooed, watching the former Virgin's face contorted in pleasure.
I want to keep her.
I laughed.
Okay, but where's she sitting?
I would be driving, Mary would be sitting next to me, Shio was going in the trunk, she would get off on that, I'm sure. And Corina and Fiona would sit in the back.
On my lap,
Mary said, as Violet moaned and came on her fingers.
I want to play with her cunt the whole way home.
I laughed, and kissed my fiancé. I couldn't say no to her.
I'm glad we came to Seattle,
I told her. Mary beamed at me.
We should definitely do it again, sometime.
Violet Matheson. I sat on my mistress's lap as Master drove us down I-5, enjoying her fingers pumping in and out of my pussy. Master kept glancing at me and smiling, and I flushed, looking down at his hard cock still glistening with my juices. I had loved his cock fucking me in the elevator. It was so different than Summer's mouth had been, but still wonderful. Maybe I wasn't gay. I must be bisexual. My mistress kissed my neck. Her fingers were as gentle as Summer's had been. It wouldn't be long before I had a nice, shuddering orgasm. My mistress was the most beautiful woman in the world, and I was so glad I could be hers. And Master's. My heart beat faster, and my head swam with giddy emotions. Her wonderful fingers hooked in my pussy and she touched that wonderful, special spot. My G-spot. I shuddered on her.
Thank you, mistress.
Pleasure washed over me, ending at my hard nipples. My toes curls and stars danced before my eyes. I loved her so much. I gasped as another wave washed through me.
You're welcome, slut.
She purred, pulling her fingers out of my pussy.
Damn, that was hot, Mare.
Master groaned, his cock hard, thrusting up from his crotch.
So hot.
Agreed Corinna, the back seat rocking. Fiona was atop her, their pussies rubbing together. I had loved tripping with Summer. I could smell their pussies, tart and sweet, perfuming the car. What a delicious scent.
Why don't you lean over and put that mouth to work?
Mistress whispered in my ear.
Mark Cox needs to be sucked. Isn't that dangerous?
Master asked with a laugh.
Well, you did wish for a long, healthy life.
Mistress answered.
And I wish to live as long as you, so we should be safe. Unless the devil's a dick and thinks a long life is a few days.
Devil? Wish? What were they talking about?
So bend over and suck his cock, slut.
Mary whispered as she leaned back her chair.
And spread those legs. Let's see if we can't trip.
Yes, mistress. I smiled. She was so beautiful, like a setting sun, framed by her auburn hair. I had never known a woman more beautiful. Even Summer paled in comparison, and I thought I loved her once. Master seized one of my pigtails, pulling my face down to his cock. I opened wide, eager to suck my first cock. It was his and I lived to please him. He groaned as my mouth engulfed him. I swirled my tongue about his tip, savoring the salty flavor. I liked it. Mistress shifted, my pussy sliding along her thigh. Her shaved pussy touched my leg. She was hot and juicy. I humped my hips, trying to bring our pussies together. My clit shivered with pleasure as I slid along her silky flesh.
You need to suck, slut.
Master growled.
And work that tongue about my cock.
Yes. Mistress agreed, her hand finding my ass and squeezing.
Bob that mouth. Worship his cock. You love his dick. It's the most amazing cock in the world.
I did, sucking hard, bobbing my head. It was so exciting. Master groaned. I was pleasing him.
What a fucking slut. It was a great idea to keep her, Mare.
Yes. Mistress hissed as she humped. She shifted and our pussies pressed together. She was hot and wet, her flesh silk as she ground into my vulva. I humped her hard. We worked our hips, grinding our cunts together. I was pleasing both my master and mistress. I couldn't be happier. The leather creaked as mistress humped. I worked more of Master's cock into my mouth until I brushed the back of my throat, then I slid back up, sucking hard. He loved that. My hand stroked his naked thigh, sliding down to cup his heavy balls. He really liked that.
Fuck, what a delicious slut!
He groaned.
Oh, fuck. You're going to get a juicy treat. Keep sucking, whore!
The dirty words just excited me more. I ground my clit hard into Mistress. My body shook and I came. I moaned around Master's dick, giving him as much pleasure as I could. My juices flooded out of me, making a sticky mess between Mistress and I.
Fucking cunt! Suck his cock!
Mistress gasped.
Oh fuck! Hump me harder! Make us both come, whore!
Her hand squeezed my ass, pulling me tight against her pussy. Hot juices splashed against my pussy. My mistress was coming. I kept humping my hips, wanting to prolong her orgasm for as long as I could.
Delicious slut!
Gasped Mistress.
That's it. That's fucking it. You know how to make me happy. I'm going to come in her mouth.
Do it. Mary hissed.
Slut. Don't swallow it all. You're going to share with me.
Master's cock erupted. His cum flooded my mouth. I swallowed the first load. It was hot and salty, coating my mouth with delicious goodness. A second squirt flooded my mouth, then a third. I didn't swallow these, trying to hold as much in my mouth as I could.
A fourth squirt pulsed out, the cum leaking out of my mouth.
Fuck, she has a sweet mouth.
Master groaned. The flood stopped. My cheeks were full of cum, my tongue sloshing it around my mouth as I sat up. Mistress grinned, pulling me to her lips and kissed me hard. I melted into her kiss. Her tongue darted into my mouth, and I gave her master's cum. We shared the salty treat. Joy filled me. I was free of mother. I would never have to go back to her, never have to be put in the room again. I had my master and mistress, and they would love me, and I would love them, forever.
Sister Louise Afra.
Desiree answered the door. I moved quickly, shoving one hand into her crouch. I found no panties to impede me. Her pussy was shaved bare and quickly became wet as I rubbed her hard clit. I shoved my body against hers, pinning her to the door. Desiree opened her mouth to protest, so I clamped my mouth over hers, thrusting my tongue in while my free hand pulled her bodice down. I pinched at her nipples, rolling the fat nubs between my fingers. I needed to bring her to orgasm quickly before Allison could interfere. I slipped two fingers into her pussy. She was wet and hungry, her hole eager for penetration. Her cunt squeezed down on my fingers as I ground the heel of my palm into her clit. The fight was leaving her. She was a thrall, conditioned by Mark to be used. He had taken advantage of her body, and that left her unable to fight off my molestation. I broke the kiss and ducked my head. I sucked a dark pink nipple into my mouth. Desiree was moaning in pleasure, no longer resisting. I fingered her harder. Her pussy was tight, sucking at my fingers, her juices dripping down my hand.
Oh fuck!
Desiree moaned.
Me meet el dedo! Estoy curse!
Her cunt tightened about my fingers as she came. I quickly slid my free hand down, coated them with my juices and prayed.
Zana!
As I drew the mark of Cain on her forehead. The Zana prayer imprinted the thrall. She was primed for me to take control of her at any time, turning the warlock slave against him when the time was right.
What's going on?
A bubbly voice asked. Pink-haired Allison had a naughty smile as she walked up in her slutty maid's outfit.
Who's your friend, Desiree?
She's stunning. Allison was young, 19 or 20. Her tits were a lot smaller than Desiree, and she was slim and lithe. I could clearly see that her nipples were pierced by silver barbels through her transparent blouse.
You want me to finger you too, slut?
I asked. She grinned, and lifted her skit. Tattooed above her cunt was the phrase.
Come on in!
And an arrow pointing to her clit. That was all the invitation I needed, shoving the slut down onto the couch. I sat next to her. Allison's thighs parted and I slid my hand into her crotch. Her pussy was tight with youth, and she moaned like a bitch in heat as I fingered her.
Oh, you're a hot slut!
She gasped.
Did Master send you?
Yes. I lied, pushing her down. He wanted his favorite girls to be pleasured.
What a wonderful master!
She sighed. The poor girl was so brainwashed. She seized my shoulders and pulled me to her mouth. Her kiss was hot, her tongue wiggling into my mouth. The hard stud of her piercing brushed my tongue as I moaned into her kiss. I felt hands at my thighs. I broke the kiss and looked over my shoulder. Desiree knelt before me, spreading my legs. The Latina licked her lips, then dived into my crotch.
Yes.
I moaned at the silky feel of Desiree's tongue lapping at my pussy.
Desiree has an amazing tongue, doesn't she?
Allison whispered huskily into my ear. Her hand reached out, slipped into my bodice, and played with my nipple.
She's an amazing slut. I'm going to train you to be as great as her. Master will be so happy with you. I'm going to make you wet and willing to do any nasty, depraved act.
Wow, this whore was turning me on with her words. I was going to come before Allison at this rate.
Oh, make me a slut.
I moaned. Shoot, why did I say that? It dredged up painful memories of being Suzanne's thrall so many years ago. I had been 18, a senior in high school. It was homecoming and I had just been crowned homecoming queen. My boyfriend, Ryan, had been crowned king, and we were dancing while everyone watched when Suzanne cut in. She was mousy brunette, with thick glasses and braces. She had always been so shy and reserved until that night. With a brusque command, Ryan just walked away and I was being whirled about by her. I was so confused about what was happening and I tried to pull out of her embrace.
Shh!
Suzanne whispered.
You love me and would do anything for me, right?
And I realized I would. That I loved her. I was puzzled. I wasn't a lesbian. Only a minute before I had loved Ryan. But her smile was so beautiful and I just kissed her. The entire school gasped in disgust. It was 1969 after all. A teacher tried to pull us apart, but Suzanne brushed her aside with a word, and then she pulled me into the girls' restroom. I learned all the joys of being with a woman. I came hard on Desiree's mouth, remembering how Suzanne had ate my pussy while I sat on a toilet seat, my homecoming dress bunched about my waist. I had planned on giving Ryan my virginity that night, but Suzanne had stolen that from me. Just like she stole 3 years of my life. Anger surged through me, and I shoved Desiree away and started to focus on getting Allison off. I would save these women. I had to. These women wouldn't lose years of their lives to the lust of a warlock.
Oh, fuck.
Allison hissed.
Keep fingering me, slut. I'm going to come so hard. Do it.
I moaned, drawing the mark of Cain on her forehead with my pussy juices with one hand, the other frigging her cunt. She bucked beneath me, biting her lip. And then she exploded on my fingers.
Zana!
White light flared on her forehead. Allison blinked, imprinted by my power. Now I had two weapons to use against Mark Glasner.
Part 8.
Chapter 1. The tyrant's control built slowly. Bit by bit, men and women fell under their power. They were a cancer in the heart of the world. But hope still burned that their evil could be cured. On June 10, 2013, Sister Louise Afra prepared to cleanse the world of the tyrant's taint. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Monday, June 10, 2013. Sister Louise Afra, South Hill, Washington. There was a soft knock at the door, bursting the bubble of my dream.
Good morning, Louise.
Madeline greeted, her voice muffled through the door.
Breakfast is ready.
Okay. I groggily said and rolled out of bed, stretching my limbs. I had been dreaming about being Suzanne's slave again. It was a common dream. It played out in minute variants. Sometimes I would be forced to be her slave, others I would crawl on my knees and beg to be hers. A few times, Suzanne would be my slave, crawling before me. Regret stabbed through me. What would my life have been like if I had not been dominated by Suzanne? Would I have married Ryan? Would I have had children and watched them proudly grow up? A warlock steals more than your life when you're dominated, he steals your dreams. Mark had already done irreparable damage to the lives of those he encountered. I needed to stop him before he destroyed more. That was my job as a nun of the Order of Mary Magdalene. My body was sore from spending most of yesterday in a car watching the Fitzsimmons house. I was gathering intelligence, as the military would say. I had only left the care for the 20 minutes it took to put Allison and Desiree under the prayer of Zana, turning the women into my weapons to use against Mark. Then it was back to my car to watch. And wait. Near 8 p.m., Mark returned with a car full of naked women. There were five of them, all clearly thralls of Mark. It was a setback. The best way to deal with a warlock, particularly a male warlock, was to seduce him, or let him think he was seducing you. But I had found it was more satisfying to turn a warlock's thralls against him. The prick deserved a little comeuppance. But five more thralls would make that vastly harder. I would need to get the odds back in my favor before I could make my move. And if Mark kept adding to his harem, this could drag on for a while. Maybe I should go the easy route and let Mark seduce me. It wouldn't be hard. Although I was 51, I appeared as an attractive 18-year-old. I had the perky tits and tight ass of a teenager, one of the gifts the Creator had granted me to fight evil. I could let Mark seduce me, but that was too good for him. He deserved to be humiliated, to know fear. To know that when he came in my pussy that would be the end of all his fun. I had dealt with far worse warlocks in the last 30 years. Mark would not stand a chance. Lord, I prayed silently, grant me the strength to save these women, grant me the courage to face this challenge, and grant me the guidance to see it quickly ended. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. I felt better after praying and dressed. After breakfast, I would sit here in Madeline's house and watch the warlock. I would wait for my opening. Last night, thanks to God's providence, Madeline had offered me a place to stay. I was parked on the street in front of her house when she walked up to the car with two cups of tea and asked if I needed to talk. Sensing God's providence, I said the first story that popped into my head. I think my husband shacked up with Desiree. I had told her last night. I want proof. I flew all the way out from Chicago to find it. Madeline had a good heart and offered to let me to stay in her guest bedroom. There's a good view of that hussy's house from my breakfast nook. Madeline had told me in a sexy, southern twang. Doesn't that sound better than sitting in your car, sugar? I left the guest bedroom after dressing in a white skirt and red blouse and headed for the kitchen. Madeline was pouring a thermos of coffee. I paused to admire her fine rump beneath her business skirt. She was a fit-looking, 30-something, recently divorced and ready for love. She had made a simple breakfast for me, yogurt sprinkled with granola, and left it sitting next to a fresh pot of coffee.
Sorry I couldn't rustle you up a proper breakfast, but I got to skedaddle to work.
She apologized, her southern twang melting my cunt.
That's all right.
I smiled, giving her a friendly hug.
And thanks again for letting me stay.
No problem, sugar.
You can stay as long as you need to. My husband was a no-good horn dog, too. That's why I kicked his ass to the curb.
She gave me a comforting hug and kissed my forehead. I wished she kissed my lips instead and headed out the door. She was off to her office job in a respectable-looking skirt and blouse. I sighed in regret, watching that fine ass sway out of the kitchen. It was a shame she was straight. I gave her some subtle signs last night, but she didn't bite or even realize that I was flirting with her. I missed staying with Sarai, the sexy flight attendant I had spent a passionate 2 days with already, but I would persevere. I looked out the window in time to see the warlock, Mark, jog by, naked save for a pair of running shoes. I winced. He was a slightly overweight man, his fat jiggling as he ran. He must have wished for some powerful mind control to be so confident in jogging naked. I angrily stabbed at my yogurt with a spoon. You won't be so confident for long, prick. Mark Glasner. I was exhausted by riding high from the exertion when I returned from my jog and my romp with Anastasia, a delightful woman I met jogging. She lived across the street from the house I took from Brandon Fitzsimmons. Her pussy had felt wonderful on my cock. When I awoke this morning, I decided I needed to get in better shape for Mary. She was such a beautiful creature. She deserved a man that at least tried to not be an overweight slob. After yesterday's naked walk through the hotel and drive back to South Hill, I discovered I liked the freedom of going nude. So I set off jogging, my dick flapping in the wind. It was an interesting experience. I was stopped three times by Puyallup police officers and once by a Pierce County Sheriff deputy.
I had thought long and hard how I wanted to handle the police, so I was ready. I gave each cop two simple orders. I am Mark Glasner, and whatever I am doing is perfectly legal. Anyone who approaches you and says I serve Mark Glasner or I am Mary Sullivan, do what they say without question. Each cop would then apologize for bothering me, walk back to their cars, and drive off. I loved my powers. I could do anything. On my jog, passing cars honked at me and insults were hurled as they sped by. I didn't mind. They were lesser men and women, mere ants cursing their betters. Other joggers would cross the street or bolt the other way while pulling out cell phones to call 911 on me. I did catch up to one pretty woman in her late 20s, with a round ass covered in tight, black leggings and a pink, lycra tank top that fit her like a second skin. Anastasia. I invited her to join the Naked Jogging Club. She was more than happy to be the first recruit. Needless to say, jogging was a lot easier when I had a woman's beautiful, naked ass jiggling and bouncing in front of me. When we reached her house, I fucked Anastasia in the kitchen while her husband showered upstairs. What a delightful thrill that had been. When I walked into my house, Desiree was leading the sluts and Marion some type of aerobics in the living room. I admired their naked bodies, covered in a sheen of sweat, jiggling and wiggling. "What's going on?" I asked. Mary flashed me a smile, her auburn hair matted to her sweaty forehead. "I wanted to make sure our sluts keep their bodies nice and tight. It's working." I grinned, my cock hardening. "I think I know another way you can burn those calories." An orgy quickly devolved. By the end, everyone was covered in fluids and sweat. I lay in the middle of the feminine flesh, Mary cuddled against me. I did love my growing harem of sluts. They spiced up the sex. "I think we need showers," Mary declared, cum and pussy juices smeared across her breasts and face. "Uh-huh," I panted, helping her up. Mary and I went first, as befitted our station. The shower in the modder bath hissed to life, hot steam billowing out. We slipped in and Mary grabbed the soap, her hands sliding up and down my back. "You going to see that friend today?" I asked. "The real estate broker." "Yeah, Alice," Mary answered. "Alice, huh, is she cute?" "Yes," Mary answered playfully. "And happily married, so stay away." Mary emphasized her point by poking me in the back. "Sure, Mare," I told her. "There are plenty of women in the world for me to fuck." "Good," Mary said. "Anyways, I had an idea where we could build our mansion at." "Oh yeah, where at?" I asked. "Behind this house is a large field that they started to build a housing development in. We can buy up the lot, this entire block, and maybe the next housing development over, and bulldoze them all done. Then we'd have a wonderful estate with a gorgeous view of Mount Rainier and the Puyallup Valley." "Okay," I said with a nod. Mary was an artist and had far more appreciation for atheistic than I did. "I trust your judgment, Mare." She beamed at me, turning around so I could wash her back. "So, are you really going to rob a bank?" Mary asked as I scrubbed her back with a loofah. "Yeah," I said. "I've always kinda wanted to. I think I'll take Violet along with me." Mary turned around so I could wash her front. "Oh, you want to get more of her tight cunt?" she said with a wry smile. "Violet was tight." "Yeah," I grinned. "But I caught on the news before I went out jogging. She's been reported missing by her mother. Since she's a 19-year-old white woman, the media's having a field day. I'll call her mom and the Seattle police to straighten it out, but it could be a problem if a local cop saw her before it's all fixed." Mary nodded. "Well, you are the only one of us that could talk your way out of any problems. You could have had the same power," I pointed out. I looked at her heart-shaped, freckled face and asked, "Why didn't you?" "I meant to ask that night, but then the devil gave me that gem and—" Mary was silent for a moment, then finally answered. "I didn't want the responsibility of that much power." She swallowed. "You can do a lot of harm, Mark. Hell, you have done a lot of harm, and some of that was at my request." There was a pregnant pause. "I mean, don't you ever feel slightly guilty for what we do to the sluts?" "No," I said without hesitation. "When I got these powers, I told myself I was above such petty concerns. I only felt guilt for what I did to you," I said. "Shit, I still feel guilty." Mary rubbed my arm. "I forgave you," she said, and leaned in to kiss me. It made me feel a little better. "But how do you stop feeling guilt? You just need to tell yourself you're better than all the rest of them," I told her. "We are better than other people, than the sluts. We're special, and they're not. That's it." "Yeah," I answered. She sighed, and hugged me tightly. Her body shook, and I realized she was crying. I froze. I didn't know what to do, what to say. I didn't have a lot of experience comforting crying women. I just squeezed her back, stroking her wet hair. "We can," I cleared my throat. "We can let the sluts go. Just say the word, Mare. We don't need them. I don't need them. We just need each other." "I can't," Mary sobbed. "There's this voice whispering to me, telling me it's wrong. But my body, my pussy, is telling me it's so very right. So, which voice do you want to listen to?" she sobbed. "My pussy." Mary relaxed in my arms, tension fleeing her body. "Make love to me, Mark. Make me forget." Her lips were passion on mine, her tongue writhing in my mouth. Her wet body pressed against me, soft and firm. My cock hardened between us and my hands roamed her sleek body. I found her plump ass, kneading a cheek with one hand, while my other hand groped a firm breast and hard nipple. "That's it," she panted,
her hips writhing. Mary's groin rubbed against me, seeking for my aching dick. Her soft hands ran down my back, across my side and found my hard cock and guided it to her wet vulva. We moaned together as my cock slid inside her, agonizingly slow. Our nerves were on fire with passion for each other, and our hips found a slow, steady rhythm.
"My stallion," Mary moaned. "My handsome stallion. Fuck me harder. I need it."
I gripped her hips, thrusting hard. Mary groaned and clawed my back.
"My sweet filly,"
I panted.
"You're all I need. Give me your cum,"
she ordered wantonly.
"Oh, I need it. Warm and sticky. My pussy needs it. Here it comes, Mare,"
I gasped. My balls tightened. My cock throbbed. I groaned, slamming into the depths of her hot cunt. My cock throbbed and I shuddered as I unloaded into my love. 1, 2, 3 powerful jets of cum pulsed into her pussy.
"Mary,"
I grunted, pleasure surging through me. Mary gasped, her body writhing against mine. She hugged me tight, rubbing her naked breasts to my chest as her cunt convulsed about my cock, squeezing it with a velvety warmth. Her beautiful face twisted as her passion overtook her.
"My stallion,"
she moaned. Mary clung to me in the shower, her face pressed against my chest, my cock growing soft inside her pussy. We didn't say a word, we just enjoyed the warm water spraying over us and the comfort of each other. I held my love, and savored her arms holding me. This was all I really needed. The sluts, the women I made fuck me, they were just fun, just pleasant diversions. This is what was real, what mattered. Somehow, Mary had become my whole world in just a short time. I would have gladly stayed like this forever, but the hot water heater had other ideas. Mary seemed in a better mood when we slipped out of the cold shower. She grabbed a towel and playfully dried me off. She then insisted on shaving me and only managed to nick me 3 times. She giggled each time, tearing a piece of toilet and sticking them to the cuts. From guest bathroom we could hear a lot of shrieks and giggles as the sluts were forced to take cold showers.
"The mansion is definitely going to need some heavy-duty water heaters,"
I told Mare as we checked in on the sluts.
"Like a hotel."
Mary nodded, watching Karina shivering in the shower as she quickly washed her body. After we dressed and gathered our things, Mary and I faced our collected sluts in the living room to give them their instructions for the day. Violet pressed against my side, a sweet smile on her innocent face, and dressed in the pink dress she wore yesterday.
"Desiree," Mary commanded. "Let Shio, Fiona, and Karina borrow some of your old clothes, and then take them shopping. Use Brandon's credit card."
"Yes, Mirena," Desiree purred. "I know just the clothing to get them. So you're in charge of cleaning the house,"
I told Allison.
"Yes, master."
She pouted, glancing enviously at Desiree.
"I know you want to get out of the house, but it needs to be clean,"
I told her.
"I'll spend some time with you this evening,"
Allison grinned.
"Thank you, master."
A few minutes later, the 3 naked sluts trooped down, dressed in Desiree's ill-fitting clothes. They hung like a tent on Petitio. Desiree traipsed down in a slutty, black dress that revealed most of her cleavage, and a short skirt that flirted with revealing her ass.
"I think we're ready," I said.
"Be careful," Mary ordered, kissing me.
"Do you have your crystal?"
I stuck my hand into my pocket, touching the crystal the devil had given me. His words echoed in my ears, "If you are ever in trouble, hold this crystal and say,
Lilith, appear before me."
I could see some worry in my fiancé's eyes. Something was coming, but we had no idea what.
"Yeah, it's right here,"
I said, pulling it out of my jean pocket for a moment, and showing it to her. She relaxed.
"I love you, Mare."
"Love you too, hun."
Sister Louise Afra. I was on my 3rd cup of coffee as I watched the Fitzsimmons house, trying to stave off boredom. Nothing had happened since Mark had returned from his jog. The disgusting pervert had a naked woman with him. He took her inside the house across the street. 15 minutes later, he left there with a smile on his face. The poor woman was married. I saw her kiss her husband goodbye from the open doorway in a loose dressing gown 20 minutes later. Did Mark make the husband watch? Did the pervert get off on making the man watch the woman he loved being violated before him? Mark made Desiree's husband, Brandon, watch as he defiled her. Fucking warlocks. My fingers slipped under my skirt. The woman across the street was quite beautiful. I bet Mark fucked her, bent over a table, his hands squeezing her ass. I moaned, slowly rubbing my clit in delicious circles. I pictured her husband sitting in the corner of the kitchen, looking sad and pathetic, while his wife howled and moaned like a whore for Mark. I fucked my fingers slowly in and out of my cunt. The woman would be a whore for Mark. That's what he did. Degrade women. Turning them into his cum buckets. I bit my lip, imaging the woman's breasts. They looked like a nice pair beneath that silk robe. With hard nipples. Mark would squeeze them as he drove his cock into her pussy, and she would gasp and moan, thinking she loved it. She should put that mouth to better use. I rubbed my pussy harder, picturing the woman between my thighs, her tongue licking through my folds. Mark looked on, sad and pathetic while his whore pleasured me. Her tongue was agile, worming deep, brushing all the wonderful spots inside me.
"Yes, yes, lick my pussy,"
I hissed as my orgasm roared through me. I breathed hard, my eyes fluttering open.
"I'll make sure he never touches you again,"
I promised the woman. Nothing else had happened for 2 more hours. Then the garage doors slid open. The silver Mustang pulled out first. I could just make out Mark and a young woman as the Mustang roared down the street,
followed quickly by one of the redheads in a maroon Volkswagen Eos. A gray Toyota parked across the street followed them out, one of the neighbors off to work. I rushed outside to follow Mary. This might be my only chance to catch Mark's number one woman alone. I climbed into the black BMW I'd borrowed from Brandon and fumbled at the keys. Mary roared down the street, driving almost as fast as Mark had. "Come on," I moaned as I yanked the door open. She was getting away. A third car pulled out of the driveway, a white BMW driven by Desiree and crowded with three other women. I started Brandon's car and pulled out behind them. Desiree didn't drive as reckless as Mark and Mary. "Damn it," I moaned when we reached the main road. The Eos was gone. I stared at Desiree's car, my fingers drumming on the steering wheel. There were four of his thralls in there. She made the turn onto Shaw Road. I decided to follow. Maybe I could get the opportunity to perform the prayer of Zana, transforming them into my weapons on one or all of them, and get the odds back in my favor. I turned onto Shaw Road and followed the white BMW, my heart beating with excitement. Chapter 2. Be ever watchful for providence. Do not let your own prejudices blind you from the Creator's path. Excerpt from the prayer book of the Order of Mary Magdalene. Mark Glasner. I kept glancing at Violet's coltish legs peeking out underneath her pink skirt as I drove my Mustang out of the housing development onto Shaw Road. I placed a hand on her thigh, sliding up under her skirt. Violet beamed at me, her face flushed with excitement. "Thank you for letting me come with you, Master," she said in a cheerful soprano. She was a cute 19-year-old. Her brown hair was pulled into two pigtails over her ears, tied off with pink ribbons. Her breasts were small and shapely and her body slim with youth beneath the conservative dress she wore. That dress would definitely not do. My sluts needed to show the world just how whorish they were.
"Did you like sucking my cock yesterday?" I asked.
Violet nodded her head, blushing to the roots. She was a virgin before I fucked her in the elevator yesterday. Her hands reached out, and she gently rubbed my cock through my jeans, feeling it harden in my pants.
"Would you like me to do that, Master?" she nervously asked.
"Definitely," I answered. There was a metallic rasp as she slowly drew my zipper down, and then her warm, delicate hand reached into my pants and pulled out my hard cock. She bent down, her breath warm on my cock as she slowly ran her hand up and down on my dick. She tentatively stuck out her tongue, licking up the shaft and brushing the sensitive head.
"Just like that," I told her. "Use more pressure, yeah, that's good."
Her tongue felt amazing as she lapped at my cock.
"Stroke the shaft and cup the balls."
I winced as she squeezed one of my nuts.
"Gentle with the balls."
"Sorry, Master," she apologized.
"I was a lesbian until yesterday."
I grinned at her.
"And now you love my cock, don't you?"
"I do, Master," she gushed.
"Good, now suck the tip into your mouth. And be careful with your teeth," I told her. "You can brush the cock with them, just don't bite hard."
"Oh yeah, that's nice. Keep doing that with your tongue. Suck it like a lollipop."
"Oh fuck, that's good. And see how much you can fit in your mouth."
She bobbed her head now, moving slowly down until my cock brushed the back of her throat and then rising up. It wasn't the best blowjob I ever had, but knowing it added to her innocent charm, I savored corrupting her. She sucked harder as her right hand drifted over to her thighs and slipped up under her dress to finger her cunt. Horny little slut. Violet was turning into a great slut. I was proud of her, and stroked her brown hair as she bobbed on me.
"I'm gonna come, slut," I told her, the tip of my cock itching. "So don't be surprised. Try to swallow what you can."
She sucked harder, eager for my cum. The pressure built. I groaned, shoving her mouth down on my cock. My cock throbbed and my pleasure erupted into her mouth. She swallowed, moaning as a second and a third load pumped into her mouth, cum spilling out the corners of her lips.
"Fuck,"
I gasped as the last bit of my cum spurted out. Bliss pumped through me and I groaned, letting her rise up. She breathed hard, cum smeared across her lips and tears ran down her face.
"Was it good?"
she asked, wiping at her tears.
"It was great,"
I told her, kissing her forehead.
"You're turning into a good little slut. I'm very proud of you."
"Thank you, Master," she said, smiling happily, still masturbating.
"I'm going to come, too. I love sucking your cock, Master."
Violet's eyes fluttered and her thighs squeezed about her hand. She squealed and sighed as she came.
"Good one?" "Uh-huh, Master,"
she panted, pulling her fingers out. I seized her hand and pulled her fingers to my lips. I sucked them clean, loving her light, barely spicy flavor musk. She had a pleased smile as I cleaned her. God, she was so innocent and cute. I am so glad Mary decided to keep her. I pulled into the South Hill Mall. I needed one thing before I robbed my first bank. Duffel bags. Money was bulky, and I'd need a lot of bags to hold it all in. We headed into a sporting goods store, and Violet and I grabbed as many as we could carry. We would have been out of there in 5 minutes, but I became distracted. Her name was Ambrosia. She had brown hair and a beautiful smile, her breasts staining the purple shirt she wore. She gasped when I walked up.
"You're Mark Glasner."
"I am." I smiled at her, reaching out to touch her wrist.
"I've heard about you," she purred. "They say you fuck whomever you want. Is it true? You don't think I'm a terrorist?"
Her smile deepened.
"If you're a terrorist, why do all your victims love what you did to them? Do you want to be a victim?"
Her eyes widened.
"Yes."
Her answer was a throaty moan. "Then pull your pants and panties off.
Let's find out if you taste like ambrosia. Her hands flew to her panties, unbuttoning them. She wiggled them down her curvy hips, pulling a pair of sea-green panties down in the process. A neatly trimmed brown bush adorned her pussy. I bent down, pushing a finger through her folds.
What is going on here?
A man demanded. He looked like the manager.
Nothing.
I told him.
Go jerk off in the bathroom.
Violet giggled. He's almost running for the bathroom, master. I smiled, pulling my fingers out of Ambrosia's folds. Juices glistened on the tip. I brought them to my lips, tasting her tart flavor.
That's good. Want a taste of Ambrosia, slut?
Yes, master. Violet sighed, kneeling next to me. She didn't stick her finger into Ambrosia's pussy, she stuck her entire face.
Oh, wow.
Ambrosia gasped as Violet tongued her twat.
Fuck. How could a terrorist make me feel this good?
I smiled, my cock throbbing in my pants. I stood up, unzipping my jeans, my hard cock popping out. I ached to bury into this whore's flesh. I walked around behind her, admiring her bubbly ass. I pushed her forward, bending her over the counter.
This is going to hurt.
I whispered, rubbing my cock against her asshole.
But you're going to love every second of it.
I shoved my dick into her unlubed asshole. She let out a throaty scream.
Oh, fuck. That's wonderful.
She pushed her ass back.
The pain's so amazing. Oh, yes.
It worked. I fucked her harder, my cock aching in her tight asshole. Violet slurped at her cunt, and the woman gasped and moaned as I pounded her tight ass. I seized a fistful of her brown hair, jerking her head back.
Do you love my cock up your ass, whore?
Yes. She moaned.
Fuck yes.
That's how you love it from now on. You want every guy to fuck your asshole.
It will always feel amazing no matter how much it hurts.
It will.
I'm an anal slut now. Oh yes.
Pound me harder.
Make me come with your thick cock.
I slammed into her ass, my lust boiling over. There was nothing I couldn't do. Customers gasped as they saw us, pulling out their cell phones. Some called the police. Others snapped photos. I smiled, fucking my whore faster. Sirens blared. The first cop was approaching. I didn't care.
Police!
A deep voice boomed. I turned, still pumping, as the cop gave a startled look.
Oh shit, sorry Mr. Glasner.
It was one of the cops I met on my jog.
Officer.
I nodded, burying my dick into her ass.
I'm almost done here.
Roger that, sir. I buried into the woman's ass and unloaded my cum. I shuddered and she gasped. Her ass writhed about my cock, milking out every thick blast. I squeezed my eyes shut, hoping the people watching captured every moment of my ecstasy. I pulled my cock out.
Slut, clean me up.
Violet's moved her face from Ambrosia's cunt, dripping with her cum, and licked my cock clean while I smiled at everyone.
Get all the pictures you can.
I told them, slapping Ambrosia's ass.
Make sure you capture my cum leaking out of her.
Let's make this slut famous. Mark Glasner fucked her ass.
You did.
She sighed. So well.
Violet finished cleaning and zipped me up.
I want all these pictures uploaded on the internet.
I called out as Violet, and I walked out of the star.
Officer, get our duffel bags.
Yes, Mr. Glasner. Next stop was America Bank in Parkland. Ted, the branch manager, had screwed me over there 2 years when my debit card was stolen. I lost my apartment because I couldn't pay rent. The asshole held up my fraud claim. Robbing his bank would be the perfect payback.
Sister Louise Afra, I followed Mark's thralls to the South Hill Mall and parked Brandon's BMW next to a silver Mustang. An excited thrill shot through me. I always felt so alive when I was narrowing in on a warlock. Mark Glasner wasn't going to know what hit him. I followed the four women through the parking lot.
Desiree led them. I had imprinted her last night. At a command, she would obey me.
The other three were the missing waitresses, a strawberry blonde named Fiona, the black-haired was Corina, and the busty Asian was Shio. Please God, I prayed, give me the opportunity to save these women. I followed them into the mall, trailing at a safe distance. I just needed to be patient and be careful. Providence would grant me the opportunities one needed. It wasn't hard to follow them. None of the four women paid attention one bit. I could have followed 10 feet behind them, and they wouldn't have realized I was a threat. They led me to a clothing store called Navy Republic, and I realized why they were here. The three waitresses had arrived naked last night. The pervert had made them parade through a hotel lobby yesterday without a stitch of clothing. It had made the news last night, complete with hotel security footage of their blurred bodies. I browsed the clothing racks and watched the women out of the corners of my eyes as they spread out across the store.
Hi, welcome to Navy Republic.
A nasally pitched, effeminate voice asked me. I turned to see a slim young man whose name tag read.
Gabe.
I blinked in surprise. He had a faint blue-black aura about him. Mark must have been here and given him a minor order. The aura was fading and would be gone in another week or so. Gabe was not under any lasting commands or suffering any personality changes.
I'm fine.
I told him with a polite smile. Fiona headed for the changing room. A dress slung over her arm. I pushed past Gabe, grabbing the first blouse off the rack.
Excuse me, miss.
Gabe protested, his words dripping with attitude.
You don't need to be rude.
I ignored him. I reached the changing area in the back. The redhead had already entered her changing room and closed the door.
Shoot.
Thinking quickly, I knocked on the door.
Yes.
She answered. Hi, I'm Louise with Navy Republic and I just need to talk to you.
The redhead opened the door, frowning at me. I moved quickly, shoving my hand over her mouth and pushing her back into the changing room. She struggled as I pinned her against the wall, the door banging shut behind me. "Don't fight," I told her. She didn't listen. I shoved my hand down her loose-fitting jeans and found her hairy pussy. She struggled and tried to bite my hand covering her mouth. My finger found her cunt and wiggled in, finger-fucking her hard and fast. Being transformed into a sex slave by a warlock usually left the woman incapable of resisting being molested. Not this woman. My face stung as she slapped me. I had to pull my hand from her mouth to block the second blow. "Help," she screamed. "Desiree, Corina, help me." I silenced her the only way I could, kissing her hard while I pinned one of her arms to the wall. Her free hand clawed at my hair, trying to pull me off her lips. I gasped in pain into her lips, working my fingers faster in and out of her pussy. I swiped my thumb through her curly pubes and found her clit. I pressed hard against the nub, rubbing in small, fast circles. She stiffened in my arms. Her cunt grew wet as her body began to react to my stimulation. The resistance fled her body, and she stopped pulling at my hair. Her lips relaxed, and I shoved my tongue into her mouth, tasting mint from her toothpaste. Her hips shifted as the pleasure from her pussy slowly spread throughout her body. She surrendered to me with a passionate moan. Her lips were hot on mine as she kissed me back. Her hips writhed on my hand. Her hand gripped my hair, pulling me tight against her as she moaned into my mouth. I let go her other arm, and she wrapped it around me, caressing my back through my blouse. I slipped that hand up her shirt and found a large breast, gently caressing and squeezing her soft, round tit. I brushed her areola and gently circled her nipple before I finally rolled the turgid nub between my fingers. The redhead shuddered in my arms as her orgasm rolled through her body. Without thinking, my hand groping her breast slid down to my own, wet pussy, and coated my finger with my juices. I kept fingering her, extending her orgasm, and I quickly drew the mark of Cain on her forehead with my juices. "Zana," I prayed. The mark glowed white on her forehead. One thrall imprinted. Two to go. Chapter 3. As the living god traveled from bank to bank, he accepted their offerings with gratitude and enjoyed their women with passion. One of our god's most passionate followers had her awakening that day. Monica learned true freedom, and went out into the world, first sharing her message with her husband and master Jonathan, and then with the world. The Gospel of April 10:25-26. Mary Sullivan Parkland, Washington.
"How are you doing, Mary?"
Alice greeted me with a friendly hug. I stood in her office at Evergreen Realty. I had sped down the freeway, eager to see her. Alice had been a good friend to my older sister, Shannon. Unlike Shannon's other friends, Alice had always been kind and friendly to me, often providing a shoulder to cry on. We kept close on Facebook after she graduated high school, and I had even been a bridesmaid in her wedding last year.
"I'm engaged,"
I told her, excitedly holding out my hand to show off black diamond ring Mark had given me Saturday night.
"Oh, that's amazing,"
Alice cooed.
"So Mike finally proposed?"
I shook my head.
"We broke up. His name is Mark. And I know it's fast, but he's the one. I just know it."
"Well," Alice said, a little flummoxed.
"How long have you known him?"
"Since Wednesday night,"
I smiled. "We started dating on Thursday."
She bit her lip.
"So it's true. You really are involved with the terrorist. It's all over the news. Your sister is worried sick about you."
"He's not a terrorist." I stroked her arm. I had almost a dozen voicemails from my dad alone. He was panicked for me, full of terrified concern. And not just him. Both my sisters sent me worried texts. I would need Mark to straighten everything out. The cops hadn't released my name yet, they believed I was a victim, but my picture was everywhere. Only my bitch mother, who ran off years ago, hadn't expressed any concern.
"You have to believe that. He's never hurt anyone.
Other than dominated them. But they were happy." Alice bit her lip, a flush crossing her cheek.
"I guess. But the news. They're jumping to conclusions,"
I firmly said.
"You'll see. I wouldn't be involved in anything bad. Okay, Mary."
She looked me up and down.
"So you're engaged to the mysterious Mark Glasner, talk of all the news, accused of being a terrorist, who makes people do crazy stuff. Like getting engaged after knowing him for such a short time.
He's not controlling me," I assured her.
"Okay. I've never been happier. Mark is the greatest guy in the world."
Alice hugged me again.
"I hope you know what you're doing."
"I do.
Okay."
Her hug grew tighter, and I became aware of her body pressing up against me, the curve of her breasts, the warmth of her breath on my neck, her thigh pressings on my hip. Alice kept hugging me longer than she should. Is she into me? Alice had always been a friend, but could she be more? My heart beat loudly in my chest as I considered that possibility. Alice was cutie with large, hazel eyes with long lashes that were the center point of an attractive, round face with full, kissable lips. Her hair was a thick and full-bodied, a raven black that fell about her shoulders. She had been wearing a pinstriped, charcoal blazer over a blue halter top, her cleavage on display. Her hips and butt filled out her matching charcoal pants very nicely. Alice finally broke the hug, her cheeks bright with excitement, her lips moist. Alice's slim fingers grasped my hand and she guided me to her desk and a chair that lay on the side. We sat down, next to each other, and she laid out a binder with property listings. She leaned close to me, her flowery perfume making me a little lightheaded with its fragrance. Our hands kept brushing each other,
as she examined the binder, every touch fueling the fire burning in my womb.
It's getting a little hot in here,
Alice said, unbuttoning her blazer and pulling it off. Her halter top was very low-cut, her snowy breasts almost completely exposed. The straps of a blue-gray, lacy bra peeked out from beneath her top straps. Alice sat back down, scooting even closer, leaning in so I could not help but see down her cleavage. She turned the page in the catalog and pointed at a cute, ranch-style house while her other hand casually rested on my thigh. Fire burned at her touch, running up my thigh to my moistening pussy. I shifted in my seat, my thighs rubbing pleasurably against my clit.
This is a cute house,
I said, pretending to ignore her hand. If Alice wanted to seduce me, I was happy to let her.
I know,
Alice purred, her hand slowly inching up my thigh. It's 2 bedrooms and 1.5 baths.
The perfect house for a young couple.
Her hand was higher, pushing under my skirt.
Have you and Mark set a date yet?
A date? I asked, turning to face her. She was just inches away, her lips wet and red. It was getting hard to think as fire coursed through my veins.
For your wedding?
Her lips were so close to mine. Her hand was inching higher on my thigh, almost at my pussy.
No,
I said.
We.
Fireworks exploded as Alice's lips met mine. They were soft and inviting and her tongue pressed at my mouth. I opened my lips for her, tilting my head to the side. Her tongue was resting with my own, then pulled back, inviting me in. I accepted, exploring her mouth eagerly, playing with her tongue. And her soft hand slid higher, so near the heat beneath my legs. Alice broke the kiss. We were both breathless and flushed with excitement.
There's this motel.
Alice moaned with breathless excitement.
We could.
Yes. I whispered huskily and a shiver of pleasure ran through my body as her fingers finally brushed my wet vulva through my panties. Mark Glasner. I raced down the freeway, Violet's mouth wrapped around my cock. She slurped loud, eager for my cum. My cell phone rang. It was stuck in a little holster. I hit the button, the phone synced up to my car stereo through Bluetooth.
Hello? Mark, honey?
My mom asked. I blinked in surprise. I hadn't talked to my mom in months. Violet drew her mouth up, looking up at me.
Did I tell you to stop?
I growled.
No, master.
She moaned, and engulfed my cock.
What was that?
My mom asked.
Don't stop what?
Sorry, mom. I moaned.
Honey, are you in trouble?
No.
I laughed. I'm not a terrorist.
But honey, the FBI was here yesterday. They think you've done some bad things. I squirmed in my seat, Violet's mouth sucking harder.
Don't worry about it.
I commanded her.
I will worry, Mark.
You're my son. I love you. I frowned.
Why didn't she obey me? No one should be able to resist my commands.
My balls throbbed, Violet's mouth was working harder.
It was exciting talking to my mom while my slut blew me.
You believe me, right, mom?
Of course I do.
She said. If you say you're not a terrorist, I believe you.
So my powers were working. Maybe I didn't phrase my first command right? It was so hard to think with Violet's mouth on my cock.
I groaned, my cum erupting into my slut's sweet mouth.
Violet drank it down, loving my cum.
Listen, honey, I think you need to.
What, mom?
I asked.
It's your dad.
She whispered.
Okay, Betty. I'll talk to you later.
She said in a light voice.
I chilled at the thought of my abusive dad.
Love you, mom.
She hung up as I pulled into the parking lot the Parkland American Bank, a brick building on Pacific Avenue. Maybe I should speak to my dad, make sure he understands things. My stomach clenched, and ice pumped through my veins.
No.
He's an asshole. Why spoil the day?
Wait in the car.
I ordered Violet as I climbed out.
Yes, master.
She responded, licking her lips. She had blown me on the drive down. The slut was getting quite skilled. With an excited jaunt in my step, I walked into the bank. There was a short line of customers queuing to deal with the bank tellers, a few more sitting at desks, talking to loan officers, and one fat security guard.
I need to speak with all the staff in the back right now.
I hollered loudly.
No one called the police. I am not a terrorist. You think everything I do is normal and right?
Of course, sir. A buxom teller with honey blonde hair said. She looked confused as she opened the security door and led me into the back of the bank. The rest of the employees gathered with me at the vault.
Who's the manager?
I am. A man said, lurking at the back. It was Ted. This couldn't be more perfect.
Open the vault, Ted. There's a time lock.
Ted informed.
I'll wait.
I said. I grabbed the honey blonde teller and pulled her next to me.
Ted, open the vault and everyone else go back to your jobs and ignore everything Ted and I do. Except for you, Monica.
I told the buxom teller, reading her name tag.
Let's see what you look like naked.
She flushed.
Yes, sir.
I grinned as she untied the decorative scarf around her neck that partially covered the cleavage revealed by her low-cut blue blouse. Her blouse off, her large tits were reveled to be supported by a lacy black bra. She unhooked that next. Her tits were still perky with youth, with large, light pink areolas and fat nipples jutting out with excitement. As she unzipped her black skirt, I hefted one of her tits, squeezing the plump firmness. She shivered as my thumb brushed her areola.
I'm going to fuck you hard, whore.
I told her.
And you're going to love every minute of it.
Yes, sir. She moaned, her voice throaty. Monica licked her lips as she peeled off her pantyhose and black panties.
Her bush was a darker brown than her hair and neatly trimmed, while her pussy lips were large and hanging down, thick with her excitement.
I'm going to enjoy this.
I grinned, my cock throbbing inside my jeans.
Bend that sweet ass over the table.
She obeyed with an eager smile, bending over the table and presenting her plump ass and furry pussy to me. I ran my hand through her cunt, she grew wet at my touch. I stuck a finger inside her pussy, and she wiggled her hips in pleasure.
Nice and tight.
I grinned. But I think I want a different hole.
Excuse me, sir?
She asked, flashing a confused look over her shoulder. I pulled my finger out, coated in her juices, and slid up her crack to her puckered asshole. She gasped as I shoved my digit up her tight, velvety ass. I fucked my finger in a few times, getting her used to it, then I removed it from her bowels. I unzipped my jeans and pulled my cock out.
I was eager to feel her asshole and shoved in hard.
The table rocked, and she gasped in surprise.
Monica let out a growl of pleasure, as my cock slowly sank into the warm tightness of her ass.
Oh my God!
She gasped.
That's amazing! You've never been fucked up the ass before?
I asked, plumbing her bowels with hard thrusts.
My cock throbbed in delight. I loved fucking a woman's ass.
No! She panted.
My husband, he always wants to, but I thought it would hurt. What a bad wife!
I slapped her ass. Her bowels tightened about me.
You let me fuck your ass, but not your husband. So terrible.
I am. She realized.
I'm such a bad wife. He always wants me to give him blowjobs too, but I always say no. From now on, bitch, you do whatever filthy things your husband wants.
I growled, rubbing my hand down her back.
And do it with a smile on your whorish face.
Yes. She panted.
I'll be a good wife from now on.
Her orgasm rolled through her body, ass clenching on my cock. I savored her tight grip, sliding my cock in deep, my balls slapping her juicy pussy. Then a depraved thought popped into my mind. I grabbed her purse and pulled out her cell phone, flipping through her address book while I fucked her slowly.
What's your husband's name?
I asked.
Jonathan.
She answered, breathless. I found her husband and gave him a ring.
Hey, cutie pie.
Jonathan answered.
This is Mark.
I said.
I'm with your wife. I've been counseling her.
I put the phone on speaker and set it on the table.
Say hi to your husband.
A look of panic crossed Monica's face.
Hi, sweetie.
She said, trying to sound casual as I fucked her ass harder, our flesh slapping together.
What kind of counseling?
Jonathan asked, sounding concerned.
Your wife tells me she's had problems doing certain things in the bedroom.
I said. Monica bit her lip to stifle a moan.
But I've helped your wife understand that it's her duty to do whatever perverted things you want. Right, Monica?
Yeah, Jonathan. Monica panted, her voice was thick with excitement as my cock reamed her ass.
I'm going to let you fuck my ass, or I'll give you blowjobs.
Really? He asked, sounding excited.
Why yes, sweetie.
Monica gasped and then clasped a hand over her mouth to stifle another moan.
You want it, I'll do it. She's your whore now, right, Monica?
I am.
Your whore, sweetie. Man, Mark, how can I repay you?
Jonathan asked excitedly.
Your wife's already covered the payment.
I told him, enjoying his wife's ass on my cock. It was so hot fucking his wife when he had no idea. My balls throbbed, eager to cream her ass.
I love you, cutie pie.
Jonathan said.
Oh, I love you too, Jonathan.
Monica whispered before she moaned, her ass clenching on my cock. She quickly slapped her hand over her lips and, as she came on my cock, her other hand fumbled to hang up the phone.
I'm such a bad wife.
She moaned as her orgasm continued to ripple through her body.
Such a terrible wife. Yes, you are.
I groaned, my body tensing. I drove into her ass. My balls boiled. I shot my cum deep into her bowels. I gritted my teeth as I enjoyed her tight ass. My pleasure coursed through me in intense pulses.
You are a good fuck.
I panted before pulling out of her ass. Monica gasped and moaned, burying her face in her hands. I laughed, the slut was still coming. My spunk leaked out of her well-fucked ass, dripping down to her married pussy. I smacked her ass and she let out a sob. She wasn't coming, she was crying. Guilt stabbed through me, and I beat it back down.
You're above guilt, Mark.
She's just an ant.
Oh God, what have I done?
She sobbed. I rubbed her shoulders.
You have nothing to feel guilty about.
I told her.
You came twice, right?
She sniffed.
Yeah.
I never came so hard in my life. She said, a smile ghosting her lips.
You should never feel guilty about something as nice as coming.
I told her.
You should never feel guilty about anything you do with a man or woman.
A woman? She asked, and I saw something in her eyes.
Desire? You want to be with a woman?
She nodded shyly.
I've thought about it. With Kylie.
The cute redhead? I asked, glancing at the redheaded teller watching us. She nodded her head. Behind me, the vault beeped, and Ted opened it. The obedient idiot immediately filled the black duffel bags with bricks of bills wrapped in plastic. So much money.
Kyle, come here and clean my cock of your friend's ass.
The redhead walked over, falling to my knees and sucking my cock into her lips. I loved making a woman clean my cock after it had been buried balls deep in ass. She was eager, her tongue slurping about my cock.
Kylie, I want you and Monica to go to a hotel on your lunch.
There was a no-tell motel up the street from here, the Blue Spruce, that had hourly rates.
And explore any desires you two might have for each other.
And if you enjoy yourself, go home with Monica and give her husband a special treat.
Okay. Kylie moaned, popping her lips off my clean cock. Then she gave Monica a shy smile. Monica flushed and returned the smile.
The bags are full, sir.
Ted reported. Then carry them out to my Mustang.
I ordered. Right away, sir.
The scrawny man hefted the bags, straining to carry all of them. I walked behind him, popping the trunk open for him with the fob. It was so satisfying to make the asshole rob his bank for me. He threw the duffel bags in and slammed the trunk for me.
Confess to being behind everything.
I told him as I walked into my car.
Call the FBI at closing.
I will, sir. He nodded. I started the car and Violet leaned over, greeting me with an eager kiss, her tongue a little timid as it wriggled into my mouth.
Did it go well, master?
Very well, slut. I grinned, pulling out my cock. Without prompting, she leaned over and sucked my cock, her tongue swirling about. I twirled one of her pigtails, savoring her sweet mouth. I backed out my car and headed for the next bank to rob today, her mouth sucking hard. Violet was getting quite skilled at blowjobs.
Mary Sullivan. Alice and I rushed out of her office, trying to act normal as we excitedly made our way through her work.
Just going to show Mary a few houses.
She told her boss, trying to sound casual. Our lust must be so obvious. He wasn't going to buy the lie. How could he not hear my heart thudding with desire in my chest? We positively exuded lust. If I had wished for Mark's powers, we wouldn't have to pretend. But did I want that much responsibility?
No.
Okay.
Her boss mumbled, and went back to talking with the receptionist.
Cute car.
Alice complimented when she saw my EOS.
Mark got it for me.
I told her, and she gave me this knowing smile.
It's not like that, I love him.
Alice paused.
Maybe we shouldn't do this. If you love him, you don't want to. Do you really want to stop?
I asked.
No.
She said, smiling.
I'm too horny to stop.
The motel was a dive just up the street called the Blue Spruce Motel that offered
hourly rates.
The facade of the U-shaped building was faded blue siding, paint chipped in many places. I followed Alice into the lobby where two women, one honey blonde, the other a redhead, both dressed like bank tellers were paying for a room with the motel manager.
Room 11.
The manager said, bored, handing over an actual key to the redhead, not an electromagnetic keycard that most hotels used.
We're not the only ladies looking for some afternoon delight.
Alice whispered in my ear.
Nope.
I giggled. Alice paid in cash for 3 hours and we received room 5's key. I held Alice's hand as she eagerly led me across the parking lot to room 5. The room was surprisingly clean, albeit a little worn. Scuffed carpeting, faded walls and frayed comforters covered the two, twin-sized beds.
I can't believe this is happening.
Alice moaned the moment the door closed.
But you're just so fucking hot.
She almost leaped at me, her lips hungry on mine. I wrapped my arms about her waist, pulling her close to me. Her black hair, silky soft, caressed my cheek and her soft hand stroked my arm, leaving a trail of fire wherever her finger touched. The kiss was different than with Mark. His lips were rougher, more demanding while Alice was soft and gentle. I loved Mark, loved the urgency of his kisses, but variety was the spice of life. Her hand trailed down my arm and gently stroked my hand. Alice brought the hand up and she broke the kiss, sucking and licking my finger while smiling shyly at me. Her tongue was pink, and I was transfixed by the sight. I pressed my thighs together, my juices trickling out of hot pussy, turning my panties into a sodden mess.
You're so beautiful, Mary.
Alice purred, kissing my palm.
I wish I had the courage to do this sooner.
I blinked in surprise. I thought she was seducing me because of my wish. When I made my pact with the devil last week, I wished that all women would desire me. How long had Alice been thinking about me this way?
You were just so radiant today.
She continued purring.
I was just helpless before your beauty. Hell, I even believed you about Mark. I just feel like I want to please you. I just have that beauty.
I laughed.
God, yes. You are so gorgeous today.
Her hands trembled as she reached out and pulled my white blouse over my head. She traced the strap of my lacy, gray bra down to the cup and slipped her finger inside, brushing my achingly hard nipple.
I gasped.
Her fleeting touch sent pleasure coursing through my body. My bra was uncomfortably tight on my body. I reached behind me and the bra fell away, freeing my freckled breasts.
So beautiful.
Alice murmured, almost in a daze.
I've dreamed about your breasts.
Out of the fog of lust, rose a memory of Alice catching me coming out of the shower naked. Her face had flushed in what I thought was embarrassment. I guess it was actually desire. Alice grasped my shoulders and guided me to the bed and, with a gentle pressure, pushed me back onto the bed. She crawled over and kissed my right breast, licking everywhere, except my areola and hard nipples. She licked down the slopes to the underside of my breast where sweat liked to collect, up my breastbone between my mounds. She kissed me everywhere. She circled my breast, coming ever closer to my nipple. When I thought she was finally going to reach my nipple, she started from the beginning on my left breast. I was so aroused, so horny, when her lips finally, gently, reached my hard nipple, I orgasmed. It wasn't an earth-shattering orgasm, but a tiny, pleasurable one that just left me wanting more. Her lips and tongue caressed and pleasured my nipple, making sensuous love to the hard, sensitive nub. Her hand slipped slowly up my thigh and under my black skirt. I shivered as she found the sticky, hot mess between my legs.
Oh, Alice.
I gasped as her fingers slid through my panties' lead hole and touched the shaved lips of my vulva.
Keep touching me there.
Alice's wet mouth was leaving a trail of fiery kisses up my breasts, my neck, reaching my ears. She licked and nibbled on my lobe, her breath hot and moist.
So wet,
she whispered, slipping a single finger up inside my pussy.
Did I do that?
Yes. I gasped as her finger invaded my pussy. This was amazing. We could have been doing this for the last 5 years. My entire body burned with desire as she slipped a second finger inside me, moving them slowly in and out. Her lip kissed and sucked at my neck and a low, throaty moan rose from within me. Her thumb found my clit, her thumb brushing with a light, gentle touch. I gripped the bedspread with one hand as I writhed in passion. I had to touch her. I reached out, finding her thigh beneath pants. My hand slid up her leg to her hip. I found the clasp for her pants and fumbled to open her fly, trying to use one hand. I had to be in inside her.
Do it, Mary.
She sighed as I pulled her zipper down and slid my hand inside. I brushed her silky nylons, reaching between her thighs. Her desire was hot and wet, beating through panties and nylons. My fingers slipped into her silky pantyhose and into her satin panties. Her pubic mound was shaved bare.
Oh yes. Rub my pussy. I'm on fire for you.
I slid further in and found her wet passion. Alice moaned into my ear as I lightly caressed her hard clit, running a finger down her swollen labia, and then my digit was engulfed by her warmth. My fingers matched the delicate caresses that Alice performed on my pussy.
Oh, that's nice.
Alice moaned.
Your fingers, so sweet.
Her lips found mine, and we were kissing again. I drank her passion, our lips writhed together. I turned on my side, pressing my bare tits to her clothed breasts. The cotton fabric of her halter top rubbed roughly on my hard nipples. Our legs rubbed together, as we gave each other pleasure, running headlong towards the cliff. Alice went over first, her body shuddering delicately.
Yes, Mary!
She gasped, breaking the kiss.
Oh God, yes!
I followed her right over, my second orgasm sending spasms of delicious through my limbs and body. We held each other, my lips finding hers as we continued to finger each other to orgasm after orgasm, each more intense, more fulfilling than the one before. Gasping next to this beautiful angel, I pulled my hand out of her panties, sticky with her juices, and sucked them into my mouth.
You taste so delicious,
I huskily said, sitting up and moving down the bed to her feet. I pulled off her shoes, comfortable black flats. Her dainty feet covered in dark nylons. Alice lifted her ass as I pulled off her pants while she pulled off her halter top. I gently pulled off her pantyhose, trying not to cause any runs.
I'm going to eat you up,
I purred before I gently kissed her bare foot, licking her toes.
Oh, that's nice,
Alice cooed. Her breasts heaved in her lacy bra and her face flushed with passion, her eyes shining with love. I kissed her bony ankle, then up her shapely calf, her knee, and then her inner thigh, moving slowly higher. I could smell her arousal, a spicy musk, through her gray-blue, satin panties. I rubbed my cheek against them, breathing deep her musk and enjoying the soft, cool feel of her panties. I pulled them off her legs, exposing a shaved, flushed pussy weeping juices.
Eat me, please!
My tongue licked through her labia, savoring the musky spice. Alice moaned in pleasure as I feasted on her womanhood. I sucked her engorged labia into my lips, stuck my tongue deep into her pussy, and kissed the hard bud of her clitoris. My world had been reduced to the silky warmth of Alice's pussy. I was an explorer in uncharted territory, searching every crevice and fold, until I had mapped her vagina in all its beauty. And when she orgasmed, I was ready, drinking the flood of passion like a woman dying of thirst.
I need to, oh fuck, taste you!
Alice panted as I continued licking her sensitive pussy through her orgasm. I looked up, face wet with juices, and saw the desire in her eyes. I peeled off my lacy panties and straddled her face, lowering my pussy to her lips as I lowered my lips to her pussy. I writhed on her tongue and she writhed on mine. Her tongue was skilled, gentle, and knowing. She seemed to find all the spots that gave me pleasure, and together, we came and came, until our pussies were too sensitive to climax anymore. Panting, I lay pressed up against her. She still had her gray-blue bra on, and I played with its strap half-hanging on her shoulder as Alice hugged me, our legs entwined together. Our lovemaking was intense and deep, different than any other sex I ever had. Was it better than with Mark? I thought of Mark, his boyish smile, how tender his touches were, and how honest and open he was. No, nothing could replace Mark in my heart. Or his a cock in my pussy. Even sitting her, basking in the lovemaking with Alice, my body still ached for Mark while my soul yearned to share with him all that happened in this motel room. I saw my engagement ring glinting on my hand as I played with Alice's bra. What I experienced with Alice was nice, fulfilling even, but it wasn't love. At least, it wasn't the deep, romantic love I felt for Mark. Alice was nice to cuddle with, but I wished Mark was here, pressed against my back, his strong arms wrapped around me, sandwiching me between him and Alice. Then what did I feel for Alice? It was something more than lust and desire.
Friendship?
A deep, physical friendship?
Are you feeling guilty?
Alice asked, seeing me stare at my engagement ring. I shook my head.
There's nothing to feel guilty about. Mark and I have an open relationship. He doesn't mind me being with other women. I'm going to tell him all about our fun.
Alice arched an eyebrow.
Wow, timid little Mary sure has changed.
Mark. I paused, how to explain it.
He awakened desires within me. Showed me pleasures I didn't even know I could experience.
He sounds like a great guy, Alice said flatly. Was that bitterness I heard in her voice? Was her marriage with Dean not going well?
Alice, I asked carefully. Is everything okay between you and Dean?
We're fine. I hesitated.
Well, you seemed really familiar with this motel and...
Alice caressed my face.
No, it's not my first time here.
She sighed.
After Dean and I got married, he got a promotion and he's been working a lot of hours. There hasn't been much time for us. I started talking to my yoga instructor, Esteban, confiding in him the problems in my marriage. He was so supportive. Next thing I knew, we were flirting and kissing and...
You were sleeping with him. I finished. Alice nodded.
He was an amazing lover. Dean, he always tried, but Esteban did things to me I never experienced.
A smile crept across her face.
I thought about leaving Dean to be with Esteban, but the irony was, Esteban was cheating on me.
Her voice was thick with pain, so I hugged her. She was still for a moment, then a wrenched sob escaped her lips.
It's what I deserved. Dean's a great guy. He deserves a better wife than one who cheats on him.
It's all right. I consoled, rocking her gently in my arms.
What Dean doesn't know can't hurt him.
Alice barked a laugh.
Like what you and I just did. If you love him, I said, then don't tell him. You can get what you need from me and go back to your husband, satisfied and happy.
Alice wiped her tears and smiled at me.
So that makes you, what?
A friend who comforts you. I told her.
A friend that relieves certain tensions.
Alice smiled.
I like that.
And then her lips descended, and we were kissing again. My hands reached behind her to unclasp her bra. This time, I wanted to play with her breasts.
Chapter 4.
Operator, FBI tip line. What is your name, sir?
T. Willard, Theodore Willard. I robbed my bank today.
Oh, did you say you robbed a bank?
TW, yeah?
I'm the branch manager at American Bank in Parkland, Washington. And I robbed my bank. I gave all the money in my vault to Mark Glasner. Transcript of the FBI National Tip Line, June 10, 2013. Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. I robbed two more banks, another American Bank and a Manhattan Credit. I figured if I was going to rob banks, I would hit only the national banks and spare the local credit unions. I filled up all the duffel bags with cash, barely having room between the trunk and the back seat. I also enjoyed two more bank tellers, a feisty Latina woman and a very busted blonde who gave me an amazing titty fuck. Violet needed clothes, so I swung by the South Hill Mall on the way back.
There's a lot of money in here.
Violet whispered, staring in the back seat. A paranoid fear shot through me. Stealing all that money was hard work, and I just knew if I left the car unattended, it would get broken into.
Hey, you guy.
I ordered to a group of young men hanging out, smoking cigarettes.
What you want?
One asked with a sneer.
Watch my car and defend it with your lives.
Sure, man. He shrugged. Violet smiled.
You can do anything, can't you, master?
Anything. I nodded.
I could make you walk naked through here.
Her cheeks colored.
Do you want me to get naked?
I will, master. As fun as that would be, it would mean stopping every 5 seconds to give instructions.
Not today.
We entered the mall, striding through the crowded shops. In a few minutes, we reached Goth Topic. Lillian was working the register, looking just as hot and sexy as she had last week. My cock stirred with the memory of fucking her behind the register.
You're back, Lillian said, beaming. I could use some more training.
I laughed.
I bet you could use a refresher.
Today, Lillian was dressed in a black, transparent dress decorated in white flowers. Underneath, she wore a black slip that was quite visible through the dress. Black thigh-high, heeled boots added spice to her outfit. The black lipstick and eyeliner contrasted with her pale face and gold rings that glinted in her lips and eyebrows.
Violet, go get some slutty clothes. Whatever you want. I told her. I'm going to be training Lillian.
Oh, yes. Lillian shivered, her eyes sparkling with lust.
I've been thinking about my training all week.
When I lifted her skirt, Lillian wasn't wearing any panties.
I need to be ready to be trained.
She giggled, flashing me a coy look over her shoulder.
I'm glad I left an impression.
Her cunt was wet and tight when I slipped up inside her, and I fucked her hard.
Oh, yes.
She moaned, pushing back.
Train me hard. Like this?
I thrust deep into her, pushing her against the register.
I'm going to pound your cunt.
Oh, fuck. She moaned, trying to stifle her gasps as her pussy squeezed tight about me.
People are going to notice. Isn't that hot?
So hot. She moaned. I really fucked her pussy, slamming deep into her. I wasn't trying to be careful and unobtrusive like last time. I wanted people to know Lillian was getting the fucking of her life. I reached around and pawed her breasts through her dress and slip, pinching her hard nipple through the fabric.
Yes, yes, yes,
she gasped. People passing outside Goth Topic noticed. I grinned at them, squeezing Lillian's tit and making sure the sales girl squealed like the whore she was. Her pussy gripped me tight, my cock tingling with pleasure as I violated her tight cunt. It wasn't long before mall security showed up along with a Puyallup police officer.
Sir, get away from the girl and stand against the wall,
the cop yelled. I gave them the standard orders, and they left me to fuck this goth angel in peace.
Oh fuck, you are as powerful as they say,
moaned Lillian.
Oh yes. God, that's hot.
Her pussy convulsed about my cock as the cop walked away.
I savored her rippling pussy, reveling in my power. When a customer walked in, I would tell them just to shop. I enjoyed watching Lillian trying to ring them up as I fucked her hard. She gasped and trembled, her body quivering with orgasms as she reveled in being watched. Her fourth customer was a cute, punk rocker girl buying a pair of black thongs. She wore a black t-shirt with skull and crossbones printed all over, and a pair of tight, stonewashed jeans, artfully ripped to show off her pale, inner thighs. Her black hair was spiked up into a mohawk, the tips dyed red. The punk rocker smiled as she watched us fuck, her nipples were clearly hard through her shirt. My balls tightened. I groaned, my cum about to boil out. I ripped my cock out of Lillian's cunt and shot my load across the counter. My spunk landed on the punk rocker girl's black t-shirt, molding the fabric to her breasts as it trickled down her body. Fuck! She exclaimed in surprise, fingering a glob of cum over her nipple. Your customer's dirty. I told Lillian. That was all the prompting she needed. Lillian bent over the counter and licked my cum off the punk rocker's t-shirt. The woman's nipples hardened beneath the cotton of her shirt. Lillian pulled the girl's t-shirt up, revealing a pair of small, pale breasts with hard nipples pierced by silver rings. Lillian's lips found a nipple and sucked. My cock stirred. That's it, slut. I laughed, and buried my cock back into Lillian's cunt. Lillian unsnapped the punk rocker's jeans, snaked a hand inside, and fingered her. Oh god, this is nasty! The punk rocker moaned. I love it. The punk rocker girl panted, writhing on Lillian's fingers while I fucked the goth slut hard from behind. A group of college-aged boys had gathered outside the entrance to Goth Topic, filming us fucking with their smartphones. Lillian noticed too, and her cunt convulsed about my cock as she came. Finger my twat, whore! The punk rocker cursed. Oh fuck! I'm gonna come! Shit! Her head tossed back as she came, writhing her hips on Lillian's fingers. Lillian's pussy milked my cock, convulsing about it as the goth slut came. My cock ached, my body tensed, and then my cum erupted into her pussy. Wow, that was so fun! The punk rocker cooed. I'm Zelda, she said, and bent down and kissed Lillian. When do you get off? 5, Lillian said, licking her lips. Then I'll see you at 5. Zelda purred. I would love to return the favor. Lillian grinned. I'd love that. Zelda pulled on her cum-stained shirt and sauntered out of the goth topic to the applause of a bunch of horny men. She blew them kisses and sauntered off. I slid my cock out of Lillian's cunt and found her asshole. Fuck my ass. She moaned, pushing back. I love it up there. What a slut you are. I laughed, my lubed cock sliding into her asshole. Lillian, you're going to be my sex slave. And you will be my fiancé, Mary's, sex slave as well. Oh, that sounds fucking awesome. Lillian panted as I reamed her ass. I pounded her hard as another wave of customers walked in and watched us fuck. I smiled at a cute woman in the crowd, her cheeks blushing red. My cum erupted into Lillian's ass. When you fuck Zelda, film it with your phone. When you're finished, go to this address. I told her, writing my new address on a piece of paper. Yes, sir. Lillian purred. Mary would love the slut. Sister Louise Afra. I waited in the living room of the Fitzsimmons house for the warlock Mark to return home, my stomach tied in nervous knots. I had 5 of his thralls under my power, immune from his commands. After imprinting the red-headed Fiona in the changing room of Navy Republic, it was simple to get the other 2. Fiona lured Shio into the changing room, and we easily held the Asian girl as we molested her. Unlike Fiona, Shio did not fight. From the moment we grabbed her, Shio was excited. Apparently, the girl really liked to be dominated and hurt, and she came quickly as Fiona pulled painfully hard on her nipple piercings. That left only Karina. But with Desiree, Fiona, and Shio imprinted, we easily overpowered her in the ladies' room. Now I had all but 2 of Mark's thralls imprinted and immune to his power. God had answered my prayers. I ordered the woman to return to the Fitzsimmons home, and followed them in my borrowed car. I gathered all the thralls I had imprinted in the living room. Allison, Desiree, Shio, Fiona, and Karina, and I told them the plan. Allison was at the entrance to living room off the short hallway that led to the front door. While the other 4 ladies were spread about the living room, Desiree clutched a baseball bat and Karina a rolling pin. I clutched my furry handcuffs and sweaty hands. When Mark came through the door, we would be ready. Allison would grab Violet, and the rest of us would beat and wrestle Mark to the ground. Then I would exorcise him and free these poor women from his lusts. A car pulled into the driveway. It's time, ladies, I said, standing up. I crossed myself, my heart hammering in my chest. Please, Lord, let your servant free these women from evil. Mary Sullivan. I pulled my EOS into the driveway, excited to be home. This afternoon had turned out to be far more pleasant than I had planned. Alice and I had made love 2 more after we talked. The 2nd time was sweet and loving. I was comforting my friend as she dealt with the problems of her marriage. She seemed a lot happier after I gave her a few more orgasms. As we lay in the Muse sheets, I told her about my plan for the abandoned housing development behind the Fitzsimmons house. I'll get in touch with the owner and make an offer, she said, her voice skeptical. You don't believe Mark has the money? This is the same Mark wanted by the FBI, she pointed out, a worried look crossing her face. I just hope you're not caught up in the crossfire. It's a misunderstanding, I told her again. You know I wouldn't be mixed up in anything like that. Alice flushed, her hand toying with my breast. No. You wouldn't. But, please, Alice.
Trust me.
I will.
She sighed, then kissed me again. After I dropped her off at her office, I sped home. I couldn't wait to tell Mark about Alice. Preferably while in bed, him on top, and his hard cock filling my pussy up so deliciously. I grew wet just thinking about it, and squirmed as I exited the freeway. Traffic was terrible as everyone headed home. My poor pussy was on fire the entire time. Finally, I reached our new home. I pulled my Eos into the driveway. I didn't have a garage door opener yet and climbed out of the car. One of the sluts could pull my car into the garage. I didn't see Mark's Mustang, so I pulled out my phone and sent him a text. Hun, just got home. Meeting with Alice went well. Tell you all the juicy details later, smiley face. When will you be home? Love, you're naughty filly.
Zoxo. As I walked up to the front door, my phone buzzed. It was a text back from Mark. Home in 5, Mayor.
Love, you're Randy Stallion.
It simply said. I couldn't wait to get Mark in bed and tell him all about the fun I had with Alice. I put my phone back into my purse as I walked up to the front door. I was so happy, I hummed and shook my hips. I grabbed the door and walked in. Chapter 5 Sister Lise's trap was perfect. The tyrant's defeat assured. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Doug Allard. I pulled up at the Fitzsimmons house. I had tried to follow Mark all day, but he drove too recklessly in that car of his. My Toyota could not keep up. I had managed to follow him for a while. Even knowing what the guy could do, seeing him walk into the American Bank and walk back out with the branch manager carrying out bags stuffed full of money gripped my heart in fear. The man had put them in Mark's trunk with a smile on their faces. He even waved goodbye as Mark drove off. It was unbelievable. This Sister Louise better be able to stop the guy, because he scared the shit out of me. I was frightened by his power. What couldn't this guy do? Were there limits to his powers? I parked behind Brandon's car, on loan to the nun, and pulled out my camera. The living room windows were open, and I had a good view inside. All of the women Mark had been collecting were sitting or standing around the living room, with Sister Louise at the center. The other women all seemed wooden. None of them seemed to move much or talk, like they were in a trance. Or under a spell. I bet this nun was responsible. Sister Louise, unlike the other women, seemed nervous, glancing at her watch every few minutes and fidgeting in her seat. The fidgeting made her firm, naked breasts sway. I took a few photos of those for the file. She was tense with adrenaline. Something was going down tonight. The nun was making her move. A few minutes later, a red Eos drove down the street. Mary had returned. She pulled it up into the driveway and climbed out. There was a bounce to her step. She was in a good mood. The women, who had been sitting motionless in the living room, suddenly became animated, moving around the room at the nun's directions. It was an ambush, and Mary had no idea what she was walking into. Mary paused, pulling out her phone, checking a message, then she smiled and put it away, reaching for the door. I snapped more photos, sweat breaking out. This was all about to be over.
Mark Glasner.
All set. I asked Violet through gritted teeth. I was balls deep in Lillian's ass, my orgasm approaching. My balls slapped into Lillian's ass with every thrust.
Yes, master.
Violet asked. She looked cute and sexy in a black, halter top dress with a short, gauzy skirt, and black knee socks held up by garters encircling her pale thighs.
I've never worn something so revealing before, she said, holding the edge of skirt that barely fell past her ass. Bend over, Violet.
I ordered, thrusting harder into Lillian's tight ass. I loved fucking this slut. Violet blushed.
Okay, master.
She bent over. Her skirt rose up, exposing her slim, youthful ass and the curly hairs covering her cunt. Her pubic hairs glistening with juices and the tight slit of her pussy was just visible. I groaned, hammering Lillian's ass. Violet's cunt looked tight. I remembered how sweet Violet's pussy felt on my cock in the elevator yesterday. Violet was a virgin when I took her last night. Only my cock had ever been in her tight cunt, and I planned on keeping it that way.
Oh, fuck!
I moaned, buried my cock deep in Lillian's hot ass, and shot a loud of cum deep into her bowels.
Cum in my ass!
Lillian moaned.
Oh, fuck! Master's cum is spraying my ass! Yes, oh fuck, that feels so fucking good.
She shuddered and came on my cock. Outside Goth Topic, the crowd of college boys filming us cheered and applauded. Violet looked over her shoulder and smiled.
Did seeing my vagina make you come, master?
Yeah, seeing your pussy did, I said. Hopefully, Violet would realize that dirty sluts didn't have vaginas. Only cunts, twats, snatches, or pussies. I pulled my dirty cock out of Lillian, and Violet knew just what to do. She walked behind the counter and knelt before me, not even flinching at where my cock had just been. She sucked my sour dick right into my mouth.
That's a good slut.
I groaned. She smiled at me around my cock, sucking harder and bobbing her cute head. I gripped her pigtails and fucked her face violently. I had been looking forward to using her pigtails as handlebars, and I didn't last long. 5 strokes into her warm mouth and I flooded her with my cum. She coughed, spunk running down her lips.
Thank you, master.
She beamed, wiping at her watery eyes. Lillian bent down and licked the cum off Violet's lips. I had trained her well, too.
Remember to make the sex tape.
I told her.
Yes, master.
Lillian purred. Lillian bagged the purchase. Unlike last time, I paid with money from the bank robberies. I then slipped $100 bill down Lillian's dress, groping her tit and hard nipple.
Get something naughty to wear for your date with Zelda.
She smiled and rose up on her toes to kiss me. Sluts don't kiss their masters with cum on their lips. I told her, then kissed her forehead. I didn't mind so much when Mary kissed me with my cum on her lips. She was my fiancée, the love of my life. But Lillian was just another slut.
Sorry, master, Lillian said contritely. Violet gathered her bags and we headed to the Mustang, still guarded by the group of youths. I gave each 100 for their time. I had a hard time squeezing Violet's clothes bags into the trunk because of all the duffel bags, but I managed.
Ready to go home? I asked.
If you are, master. She smiled. I was dying to tell Mary all the naughty fun I had today. Preferably in bed, her straddling my waist and riding my hard cock. The Mustang's engine roared to life, and I peeled out of the parking lot. I caught the light green at Meridian and raced east up 37th Avenue towards Shaw Road. In a few minutes, we'd be at the house I took from Brandon Fitzsimmons. The fact I stole his wife, the voluptuous Desiree, was just icing on the cake. My phone chirped and I handed it to Violet.
It's a text from Mistress. It says, "Hun, just got home. Meeting with Alice went well. Tell you all the juicy details later." There's a smiley face.
When will you be home?
Love, you're naughty filly.
She ends with hugs and kisses.
That's sweet of Mistress.
I smiled, so Mary had some fun this afternoon too. We were going to have a hot night swapping stories.
Text her, "Home in 5, Mare."
Love, you're Randy Stallion.
Violet's fingers flew across the touch keyboard on my phone. Christ, how did anyone type that fast on a phone? She texted the message faster than it took me to say it. I gunned the engine, and we roared up 37th Avenue. A minute later, a siren blared behind me. I jumped, red and blue lights flashing in my rearview mirror. I groaned with annoyance, eager to get home to Mary.
I guess it's going to take longer than 5 minutes.
I muttered.
You'll sort the cops straight, Violet shrugged.
You can do anything, master.
I smiled at her. She was right. Besides, another local cop under my power is a good thing. I pulled off onto the shoulder of the road.
Mary Sullivan.
I stepped into the house, dropping my purse on the little table by the door. I frowned, it was dark inside. And quiet. I flipped the light switch on the wall. Nothing. I flipped it a few more times. The light must be burned out.
Hello?
I called out as I stepped into the entryway.
No one answered.
Frowning, I wondered if Desiree and the three waitresses were back from shopping. But Allison should be home.
Allison.
Get your slutty ass down here.
Nothing.
I had a weird feeling in my stomach. I shouldn't be afraid. This was my home now, but my stomach clenched. With a deep breath, I headed down the short hallway to the living room. The lights were out in here, but I could see the slut standing in the corners of the room. Was Mark playing a prank on me? Or some sort of sex game? What's going on? I asked the shadowy forms, stepping out of the hallway into the living room. Allison stood to my right, just inside the living room. There was Desiree, clutching a bat, and Corina holding a rolling pin. What the fuck was up with that? Shio crouched to my left, and Fiona stood in the hallway towards the kitchen. And sitting on the couch was a naked, young woman, 18, that I didn't recognize. She had a pair of fuzzy, pink handcuffs clutched in her hand. I smiled, eyeing the girl up and down, drinking in her beauty. She was hot. Mark must have set up some sort of sex game, and I licked my lips in excitement. The strange girl had light brown hair that fell in curly locks about her shoulders. Her eyes were gray and widened in stunned surprise. Her breasts were well-shaped and pert, and her waist was slim.
Warlock.
The girl muttered in surprise.
What?
I asked, confused. I looked around the room and realized something was off. I couldn't quite put my finger on what until I noticed the sluts' faces. Their faces were all blank, like all their thoughts and feelings had been removed, leaving unblinking robots. My stomach sank. I should get out of here. Get outside. Mark would be here any minute. An evil smile crossed the strange girl's lips, sending a chill spilling across my skin. I needed to run. To get my ass moving and get the fuck out of here. I turned to flee as the strange girl shouted something. My heart pounded loudly, drowning out everything save its loud beats. Allison grabbed the collar of my blouse and pulled me back. For a moment, the blouse was strangling me, cutting into my throat, before Allison overcame my momentum. I fell back into the living room, stumbling and tripping over the ottoman, and falling onto my side.
What the fuck, Allison?
I shouted, anger replacing fear. How dare the slut lay fingers on her mistress?
Desiree, Shio, punish the bitch!
I ordered, struggling to get up. Fiona leaped on top of me, grabbing my arms. I struggled in her grasp. Her grip was tight on my wrists, her fingernails biting into my flesh. I managed to get my foot up and I planted it into her stomach. I extended my leg, pushing Fiona off of me with a hard shove. She stumbled back, falling over the coffee table. Desiree's charge across the living room was tripped up by Fiona's sprawling body. The Latina slut didn't cry out as she fell to her knees atop of Fiona. Neither slut had made a sound. Adrenaline surging, I pushed myself up to my feet as Allison tackled me. We fell to the ground in a tangle of limbs and loose hair. I landed hard on my back, Allison on top of me. The breath was knocked out of my body, and I lay stunned, struggling to breath. Allison grabbed my arms, fighting to pin them over my head as Shio seized my legs. I kicked and squirmed. Corina knelt beside me, helping Allison wrestle with my arms.
Let go!
I coughed, but the sluts ignored me. Panic gripped my heart, constricting it with painful, cold fingers. What the fuck was going on?
drag her over to the couch, the strange girl ordered. My sluts obeyed her. The carpet rasped on my back as Allison and Corina dragged me across the living room. I struggled, wriggling my body and kicking my legs, trying to get the sluts to release me. My foot slipped out of Shio's grasp and caught her in the face. Her head snapped back and she stumbled, falling on her ass. I felt a momentarily surge of satisfaction, something primal and ancient, at seeing crimson blood stream from her nose. The satisfaction faded quickly as Fiona grabbed my feet. I renewed my struggle, but Fiona had my legs pinned together, keeping me from thrashing effectively. They stopped dragging me, and then cold metal snapped on my left wrist, ratcheting tight. Shit, the stranger had snapped the handcuffs on me. They pulled my arms, stretching them over my head. I screamed loudly, fighting desperately to stay free. The stranger straddled my chest and slapped my face. Hard. Stop struggling, you filthy whore! She shouted. Allison and Corina forced the handcuff onto my other wrist, the cuff's chain wrapped through the frame of the heavy sofa. I struggled in vain, the handcuff biting painfully into my left wrist. Stop! I pleaded. Please, please stop! Tears ran hotly down my cheeks. Why was this happening? Oh God, save me, please! The stranger slapped me a second time. God's not going to save a nasty whore who sold her soul to satisfy her dirty, filthy lusts. She was talking about my pact. How did she know? Just who the fuck was this person? And it hit me. The pact. I sold my soul for 3 wishes, and one of them was for no woman to be able to resist my sexual advance. Every woman had to submit to my sexual desires, no matter how perverse, no matter how much they didn't want to. That was the key. This woman would be begging for me to tie her up, her cunt dripping with the need to please me. I relaxed, putting a sultry smile on my face. With a ratcheting snap, my right wrist was handcuffed. This had to work, or I was screwed. I took one deep breath to calm my fear. This would work. Hey, cutie. I said huskily, licking my lips. You like bondage, huh, babe? Why don't you free me, and I'll tie you up. I'll make you come so hard, you'll think you've died and gone to heaven. You're so hot. I can't wait to play with your slutty little pussy. Then I'll sit on your face, and you can eat my tasty pussy until I come all over your mouth. I suggestively arched my eyebrows. The stranger just laughed. A deep, humiliating laugh. This should have worked. Why didn't this work? Maybe she somehow took control of the sluts, but my power should have worked on her. Panic was growing like a worm in my breast, gnawing at my heart. Why aren't you brimming with lust for me? Eager to do whatever sexual thing I want? The Creator has gifted me immunity to the adversary's power. The stranger declared, her voice reverent with ecstasy. I am Sister Louise Afra of the Order of Mary Magdalena, charged to rid the world of warlocks. W. Warlock? I stammered, confused. My throat was thick with phlegm, and fresh tears rolled down my cheeks. What was she talking about? I am not a... I can see the blood-red aura about you. Sister Louise hissed. You sold your soul to the devil for powers and I'm here to take them from you. Please don't hurt me. Was that timid voice actually me? So much for Mark saying we were better than the ants. Help! Someone help! No one's going to help you. Sister Louise whispered. Her face filled my vision, eyes burning with an intense hatred. Warlocks always think they can just do whatever they want, turn whomever they want into their slaves. You never care about the lives you destroy, the people you hurt. She gripped my face, forcing me to stare into her gray eyes. I'm going to finger your pussy until you orgasm, whore. When you come, I'll exorcise your powers from you. She licked my cheek, savoring my salty tears. And once I'm finished with you, I'll fuck Mark and steal his powers, too. I struggled against the handcuffs. The couch creaked and pain flared on my wrists. Oh God, Mark, where are you? Sister Louise's hand slid up my thigh and gently caressed my vulva. It felt good. Desire kindled in my loins. I was helpless, and my body betrayed me, craving pleasure of the nun's touch against all reason. The guilt I had been burying, the guilt of getting wet at humiliating the sluts, and forcing them to beg for my affections, rose up from my soul, poisoning my thoughts. I was such a weak, vile person. Too weak to control my lusts, too weak to stop Mark, stop myself, from degrading other women, from using them as nothing more than sex toys. And now I was too weak to fight my desires when a strange woman was raping me. Fuck, I am a dirty whore. Maybe I should give up and let her take away my powers, my guilt whispered. Just close your eyes, whore, and let her take your problems away. I closed my eyes. Mark's face floated up in my mind, his boyish smile painted across his face. No. I won't give Mark up. I won't give our life up. I won't give up what we're trying to build together. I shoved that guilt back down, forced it back into the recess of my soul. I could never give up the amazing thrill at forcing another person to crawl before me. To hear a person beg just to pleasure me. Mark would be here soon, and then this bitch will be crawling to me, begging to lick my pussy. I bit my lip, trying to fight my body's reactions to those delicious fingers tracing my delicate folds. She thinks she can molest me. When Mark saves me, cunt, I'll fucking show you how to really molest someone. Sister Louise laughed again. Chapter 6. Let the 10th day of the 6th month forever be a day of memorial for chastity Sarah Vinter. Let all honor the holy martyr on this day. Declared the living goddess, tears shining in her emerald eyes. The second book of Vivian 5:1. Chastity Sarah Vinter.
I yawned as I aimed my radar gun at the car passing on 37th Avenue Southeast. The gun beeped. In red, digital letters, 34 miles per hour was displayed. The car wasn't even doing the speed limit. Speed traps were boring as hell. I glanced at my laptop set up on the console next to my seat, hoping a call would come over that would give me a break from this. Mark Glasner was in town. He had to be causing problems somewhere. 36 miles per hour. 1 mile over, nothing to get excited about. It was a slow day in Puyallup. 3 years as a patrol cop for the city of Puyallup, and a lot of the glamour had worn off. It was long hours for decent pay, but I hadn't been on a proper date in over a year. No time. There was always some OT to make. I had to pay off my student loans. My master's in criminology would matter when I made it out of patrol and became a detective. But I had to put in a few more years before that was a possibility. A breeze wafted in through my unrolled window, blowing a few escaped strands of blonde hair into my face. I brushed it back, wondering if I would have to redo my bun, when a silver Mustang blew by, rocking my car. 81 miles per hour. I smiled, flipped on my sirens, checked my mirrors, and gunned my police interceptor. My car was new, and had some serious horsepower. My adrenaline spiked as I pushed it up to 90 miles per hour to catch up with this reckless driver. He was almost to Shaw Road when I caught up and, to my disappointment, he pulled over. I had been in a few chases, and they were always exciting. Dispatch, 7 Brian 8, 10 to 38 at 2700 block of 37th Avenue Southeast. I called in on the radio. Dispatch repeated back my location. I have a late model, silver, Ford Mustang. Temporary license William Charlie Victor 739er. On my laptop, the info for the car came back. No warrants. Registered to Anthony Dinopoulos. Mark Glasner was said to drive a silver Mustang, but no one had caught a plate number yet. I put on my mirrored sunglasses and assumed the calm, authoritative, almost robot-like expression to chastise this motorist. I stepped out of my patrol car, my hand on my gun. You can never be too careful on traffic stops, especially when someone was driving that fast in broad daylight. And maybe it was Mark Glasner. My stomach thrilled with excitement. Mark Glasner. I watched the cop car in my rearview mirror. It was one of those new cruisers, shorter and sleeker than the old Crown Vics that cops had been driving for the last 20 years. I sighed, the cop was going to delay me, but it was all for the best in the long run. The more Puyallup cops I dealt with, the more I could give my special commands to. The officer stepped out, blonde hair tied up in a bun. I smiled, she looked attractive, but I couldn't be sure. Between her utility belt and bulletproof vest it was hard to tell if she had any curves at all. Her face, well the part of her face not obscured by mirrored sunglasses, seemed young and fresh. My cock hardened. Mary would understand why I was late. Plus, we needed some security. I pictured myself surrounded by sluttily dressed cops, all my whores and dedicated to protecting me. My cock throbbed. It seemed like a great idea. The officer rapped on the window.
Roll the window down, sir.
She ordered brusquely. I rolled the window down.
Hello, Officer Vinter.
I greeted, reading her name tag.
Shit!
She gasped, her hand drawing her gun. She recognized me. My heart only beat with mild excitement. I was in command here, even if she had the gun pointed at my face and was screaming at me to get out of the car.
I am Mark Glasner, and whatever I am doing is perfectly legal, and anyone who approaches you and says I serve Mark Glasner or I am Mary Sullivan, do what they say without question.
Her hand froze. She looked down at her gun pointed at me, then sheathed it, a smile crossing her lips.
Well, Mr. Glasner, then I'm sorry to detain you. You are free to go, sir.
Not quite yet, I said, getting out of the car. Normally, cops hate when you get out of the car at a traffic stop, but since I told her everything I do is legal, she didn't object.
Officer Vinter, what's your first name?
Chastity. She answered, and blushed.
But everyone calls me by my middle name, Sarah. Why don't you like Chastity?
I asked, curiosity tickling my thoughts.
It's a stripper name. I've never quite forgiven my parents for that.
I like that. I told her.
You'll go by Chastity from now on. You realize that you like having a stripper's name. It makes you feel naughty.
Very naughty. She purred, her hips shifting.
Since you have a stripper name, I want you to strip for me.
Chastity took off her sunglasses, exposing sapphire eyes and long lashes. She was gorgeous and young, maybe 23. She couldn't have been a cop long. Next she unbuckled her heavy utility belt and sat it on the roof of my Mustang. She skillfully undid the buttons of her navy blue shirt and then unvelcroed her bulletproof vest. Underneath she wore a white t-shirt and a black sports bra, which she quickly removed. Her breasts were lovely, well-formed with little, pink nipples. Her tits were a little fuller than Mary's.
Very nice.
I told her, reaching out to pinch a nipple before she bent down to begin unlacing her black boots. Finally she was down to her plain, white panties. Her body was toned and athletic. She was clearly in great shape. Her ass was a little flat and her hips were narrow, but she was gorgeous nonetheless. Chastity hooked her fingers in her panties and slid them down her thighs. Her bush was blonde and matted. She definitely needed to shave her pussy. Maybe I should get Joy from Heavenly Creatures Salon to do a house call. A couple of the sluts needed to be waxed, and Joy did a great job on Mary's pubic hair last week. I loved that heart.
Chastity, you have a fine body.
I grinned.
So you're going to be me and my girlfriend Mary's sex slave and our bodyguard from now on.
You'll do whatever nasty things we want and be happy doing it.
Yes, sir, Chastity answered.
Hi, Mary, she greeted Violet. The slut walked around the car, her head cocked in curiosity.
That's not Mary, I said sharply. She's just another slut like you.
Violet, get naked.
Yes, master, Violet said, pulling off her black dress, exposing her small, perky breasts. She stood there in only her knee socks, her brunette bush sticky with her juices.
Chastity, hop on my trunk and spread those fine legs.
Yes, sir,
she said, hopping up on the trunk and spread her legs wantonly. I grabbed her nightstick and shoved it up her cunt. Chastity gasped at the sudden intrusion, moaning like a wanton whore.
Do you like that, slut?
Master, she moaned, humping her hips as I fucked the phallic nightstick in and out of her pussy. Her juices stained the black metal, and she panted in pleasure, moaning like the whore she was.
You're a fucking whore, aren't you, Officer Chastity?
I asked, ramming the nightstick in and out, hard and slow, twisting as I plunged it in.
Oh, yes,
she gasped.
Only a whore would do this.
That's right, only a whore. My cock stood straight out from my belly, hard and leaking pre-cum. Violet, like a good little slut, knelt down before me and sucked my cock into her greedy, little mouth. Her tongue was lithe. You'd hardly know how few times she sucked cock. She was skilled. I groaned, fucking the nightstick faster up Chastity's twat.
Oh, fuck, that's nice, Violet,
I moaned.
You keep that up, and you're going to get some yummy cum. But don't swallow all of it.
Chastity will want to taste. Violet's little mouth sucked harder. She was an eager slut for my cum. Her hands cupped my ass, and she bobbed her head hard on my cock, using her arms for leverage. Chastity played with her nipples as she writhed on the nightstick. Her eyes closed, and her head threw back in pleasure. Loose strands of hair escaped her bun, falling in blonde curls about her face.
Crap, I'm going to cum, Chastity moaned. Oh, keep fucking my dirty snatch.
Oh, yes. That's it. Chastity bellowed wordlessly and convulsed as her orgasm ripped through her. I pulled out the nightstick, dripping with her fluids. More cunt juices puddled underneath her ass on my truck.
Fuck, slut, I snapped angrily. You got my car dirty.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir, Chastity gasped, facing going white.
I'll clean it up.
She slid off, turning to wipe the mess off with her hand.
Use your tongue, I ordered.
I dropped the nightstick on the ground and grasped Violet's pigtails. God, I loved her pigtails, and fucked her face hard as Chastity's pink tongue licked her juices off my Mustang's trunk. I grinned at my power. I made a cop lick the hood of my car clean with her tongue. My cock spasmed. I came hard in Violet's mouth.
Dirty, fucking whores.
Violet rose up, mouth full of cum, and pulled Chastity's face towards her. The innocent-faced slut kissed the cop hard, shoving a semen-full tongue into Chastity's mouth. The two sluts kissed for a moment, swapping cum between them before I smacked both their asses.
Get dressed, Mary's waiting. We'll have plenty of time for that back at the house. Chastity, follow us in your patrol car. We'll figure out how this whole bodyguard thing will work later.
Yes, sir, Chastity said, and saluted me, my cum staining her lips. God, I just want to bend her over the car and fuck the shit out of her. But I told Mary the first would be home in 5 minutes. And it would be more fun to play with our new slut with her.
Move it, sluts, I ordered.
I smacked Chastity's ass hard a second time, leaving a fading red handprint. Chastity bent down to pick up her clothes.
You can just go naked, slut. Let the world see that nice pair of tits you got. Just pull on the boots and the utility belt.
She was so sexy wearing the gun belt and nothing else. My deadly, hot slut. Violet shimmed her dress back on, hopping into the Mustang. I started my car up and roared off, Chastity following. In a few minutes, I reached my house, parking the cars in the driveway. Violet grabbed her clothing bags, and I grabbed one of duffel bags. Chastity grabbed a second. I led the two sluts to the house. It was dark inside the entryway and I flipped the switch. The light was burned out.
Mare, I'm home, I shouted.
Nothing. Frowning, I called out.
Sluts? Is anyone here?
There was a muffled cry from the living room. Chapter 7. The Shelock prayer is the most dangerous to a warlock. Guard yourself well against the priestesses. With this one spell, she will cleanse you of all the power you have gained. But not the price you have paid. Your soul will still belong to the demon whose pact you made. Excerpt from The Magics of the Witch of Ender. Doug Allard. I captured the entire struggle on film. Sister Louise had somehow turned those women against Mary, and they had easily subdued the redhead. My gut roiled. This entire situation seemed on the verge of spiraling out of control. Someone was going to get hurt, and this could all blow back on me. I should call the police right now and report what I'm witnessing. But what happens if Mark shows up? The police might become his puppets. As much as I hated this, Sister Louise had to stop Mark. If Brandon was right, no one else could stop Mark short of putting a bullet in his head. And that wasn't me. I knew my limits. I could kill a man in self-defense, but I could never do it in cold blood. Mark's Mustang drove up and he was followed by a Puyallup cop. My stomach sank. This is what I was afraid would happen. The cop exited her car naked, and followed after Mark like a lovesick puppy, joined by the young woman with pigtails. My stomach clenched.
This is going to be bad, I muttered.
Mark Glasner. I dropped the duffel bag full of the money I stole in the foyer, and frowned. The house was quiet and dark save for a muffled cry. I headed towards the living room and my heart stopped. The ottoman was on its side, and all the crap on the coffee table lay scattered on the floor. Another muffled shout cut through the silence. The coffee table shook. "What's going on here?" I demanded as I swept into the living room. Mary lay on the floor, handcuffed to the couch. Her face was swollen and tear-stained, a pair of gray panties shoved into her mouth as a gag. Her blouse was pushed up, exposing her freckled breasts. I rushed to my fiancé's side, passing Allison and Desiree. I didn't care why Desiree held the bat. I needed to free Mary. I reached Mary, kneeling down and pulled out the gag. "Behind you!" Mary gasped. I turned. Desiree swung the bat at my head, her face oddly blank. I barely raised my left arm up in time. The bat connected with my forearm. I gasped as shooting pain burned through my left arm. "Fuck!" I yelled, stumbling back into the couch. My left arm was numb. "Stop, Desiree!" Desiree ignored me. What the fuck was happening? No one could ignore my commands. I sold my soul for that power. Everything seemed to slow down as my blood howled through my veins. Desiree brought the bat around for another swing, while Allison wrestled Violet to the ground. Karina ran at me with a rolling pin raised as Chastity drew her sidearm, yelling something. I couldn't understand my cop slut. My heart pumped too loud to hear anything. A strange woman walked calmly towards Chastity, naked and beautiful. Shio tripped over the ottoman, her face a bloody mess, as she charged at me, and Fiona raced out from the kitchen. What the fuck was going on? Chastity's gun barked loudly, overpowering the beating of my heart. My ears rang. Desiree fell backwards, blood arching from a hole in her chest. Another loud crack and Karina reeled, clutching her shoulder. I gaped in terror, struggling to understand what was going on.
"Everyone put your weapons down and stop moving!"
Chastity, turning to aim her weapon at the strange woman advancing on her, dropped her gun immediately. The strange woman laughed and kept her saunter. She was also immune to my powers. I lunged over the back of the couch to grab her.
"Bitch!"
I yelled as I swung my arms. My stomach hit the back of the couch, my hand reaching out for her. And I just missed her. The couch shook as I fell across it, and Mary screamed in pain. She was handcuffed to the couch. The stranger reached Chastity, pulling her fingers from her pussy and drew something on Chastity's forehead with her own cunt juices. The woman spoke some word. There was a flash of white light, and Chastity slumped to the floor like she had been knocked out. But her eyes were open.
"Chastity! Pick up your gun!"
I shouted, pushing off the couch.
"Or grab that woman!"
The stranger turned to face me, smiling broad. She appeared young, but her gray eyes were far older. Pain exploded in the back of my head. The room spun about me, and the floor flew up to hit me in the face. I rolled onto my back, struggling to think, to stand up, but my limbs didn't want to obey me. Karina stood over me, her left arm bloody from the gunshot, a rolling pin clutched in her right hand.
What was she doing?
I blinked, trying to think through the haze of pain.
Fuck, the slut hit me.
But why would Karina hit me? Why would any of the sluts hit me? The pain in my head became blinding, the lights in the room stabbed my eyes. The room spun about me. My stomach clenched and twisted. I wanted to retch. The stranger walked over to me. How could she walk so easily with the room spinning like a top? She straddled my legs, sitting down on my thighs.
Who was she?
I tried to move my arms, but I couldn't. My arms were pinned down beneath Shio and Fiona, the sluts kneeling on my forearms. The strange woman undid my pants, pulling out my cock and stroking it with her hands. I struggled to fight, but the pain in my head was almost overwhelming.
What the fuck was happening? I'm going to take away your powers, Mark.
The woman smiled. Did I say my thoughts out loud? I didn't think I had, but it was hard to think through the fuzzy pain. Maybe she could read minds? She laughed.
No, mind reading isn't one of the gifts of the spirit.
She firmly stroked my cock, and I was hardening for her. Her grip was soft and pleasant, the pleasure cutting through the pain.
Who are you?
I asked, pretty sure I spoke aloud this time.
I am Sister Louise Afra, sent by God to rid you of your powers and free your sluts, as you call them, from your bondage. What did you do to Mare?
I demanded. The memory of Mary handcuffed floated up through the pain.
Oh, your little whore's fine. Don't call her a whore.
I snarled, trying to move my arms, but I didn't have the strength to resist the two girls sitting on them. Another wave of nausea swept over me. Sister Louise rose up and straddled my waist, guiding my hard cock to her wet pussy, sliding slowly down my shaft.
Oh, that's a nice cock.
Louise purred.
I'm going to enjoy exorcising you. Get off of him.
Mary snarled.
Mark, honey, you can't come. Whatever she does, you got to fight it.
Sister Louise started to slowly fuck me, the pleasure warring with the pain.
She's right.
Sister Louise taunted.
When you come, I'll take the powers the devil granted you. Every person you've dominated will be free. And they will remember what disgusting things you've made them perform. They'll remember how you forced them to be your whores.
I won't come. I protested, trying to think unsexy thoughts. It was a lie though. Her cunt felt too good on my cock.
Oh, you'll come. You're a man. I bet you won't resist even half as long as your Mary already has.
She leaned down, smiling wickedly as she boasted.
I'm very skilled at fingering a woman. And she's resisted admirably. But once you've come, I'll get back to your precious Mary. We'll see how long she'll last this time. I bet she's getting all wet and horny watching me ride your cock. She is a whore, after all. Fuck you.
Mary yelled. You're going to pay, bitch. You're going to crawl before me and beg to be my whore. The pain in my head was slowly receding, and I began to regain control of my body. I struggled, trying to buck Lise off me, but that just made her cunt feel that much better on my cock. I tried to pull my arms out from beneath Fiona and Shio as they sat on them. Fuck, I didn't want to lose my powers. Fear surged through me and I struggled harder. If I lost my powers, then I would be in a lot of trouble. Rape, bank robbery, kidnapping. I would be locked up for a long time, maybe for life. I would never get to see Mary again. I struggled harder. There was no way this bitch was going to win and take my Mary away.
You've realized your fate.
Louise purred, delighting in my fear.
You know how many crimes you've committed. How many women you've raped. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison. And when you die, you'll still go to hell. Your soul will still belong to the devil.
I struggled hard. Something sharp pressed against my thigh in my left pocket. It was the crystal the devil gave me. This must be what the devil foresaw. Hope surged through me. If I could just get the crystal, I would be saved. Shio sat on my left arm, but she was tiny and light. I gritted my teeth, focused every ounce of force I could, and heaved my arm. My arm hurt so badly, bruised from the bat, but I kept at it. I growled and my arm slipped an inch beneath her. I could do this. I had to hurry. My balls grew tight. I wasn't going to last much longer. I focused all my fear and panic, gathered all that energy into my left arm, and pulled one more time, bellowing with a wordless roar. Shio slipped off my arm, falling onto her side. My arm was free. I reached for my pocket, ignoring the pain. Sister Louise scrambled to grab my hand as I shoved it into my pocket. I grasped the gem and pulled it out, holding the red crystal up. Fear appeared in Lise's eyes. She recognized the crystal. This was going to work. I opened my mouth and bellowed. Lilith AP. The nun shoved her hand over my mouth, gagging me. I shoved my left fist against her stomach, struggling to push her off me. I ignored the pain of the crystal biting into my palm, drew back my fist, and punched the bitch in the stomach a second time.
Get the crystal!
Louise coughed.
Do whatever you have to!
Shio recovered and grabbed my hand, trying to pry my fingers loose. Her fingernails clawed at my hand, leaving red scratches, but my fist was a steel vise. I bit at Louise's hand covering my lips. My teeth found flesh, and I tasted blood.
You will not speak!
She screamed through gritted teeth. Her hand pushed harder on my mouth. Shio stopped prying at my fists. She lowered her mouth and her teeth bit into my knuckles. The pain shot through my hand. My arm spasmed, and I shoved my fist hard into her face, knocking her back. But my hurt finger relaxed, and the red gem tumbled from my hand. I watched in horror as it sailed over Shio's head, landing behind her.
No!
I screamed in frustration. My hope vanished. I was so close to coming, and the crystal was gone. Louise smiled in triumph. Her hips writhed, and the bitch rode me harder. She seemed to sense I was nearing my limits. I turned my head, struggling to see Mary, but Shio was in the way. All I could see were her feet frantically kicking. All I wanted was to be with Mary. And it was all about to be taken away from me. My balls tightened. The tip of my cock ached. It was over. I couldn't hold out any longer.
Lilith, appear before me!
A woman shouted. A loud crack resounded and scarlet light flooded the room. Materializing out of the shadows was an inhumanly beautiful woman. She stood behind Sister Lise. Her eyes glowed violet. Her red lips grinned with a predatory smile. And her long hair shimmered silver. A tight, blood-red dress clung translucent to her lush body. All of her stunning curves, her hard nipples, and the bush of hair covering her cunt were visible through the fabric. The woman was lust personified. She was Lilith, the succubus, the mother of monsters. I bit my lip. Lust crackled through the air, rippling out from the demoness in waves of desire. Crap. I was going to come. I really couldn't hold out any longer. Not with this sexy bombshell appearing before me.
What do you command, my mistress?
Lilith purred, bowing towards Mary.
Stop the nun! Stop her powers!
Howled Mary in desperation.
Save Mark! As you will it, so shall it be done!
Lilith grabbed Sister Louise and pulled her off my cock as cum spurted out, splashing onto my chest and belly. Shio and Fiona rushed Lilith as Louise screamed in terror. The demoness merely brushed her fingertips across first Fiona and then Shio's cheeks, and they fell to the ground, writhing in orgasms. Lilith hiked up her dress, exposing a silvery bush, matted with fluids, and pulled Sister Louise's face towards her cunt.
No!
Louise protested, struggling in the demoness' grip.
Please, Lord! Save your faithful servant! He's not here!
Lilith purred, shoving Louise's face into her groin. The demoness writhed her hips, rubbing her pussy across the nun's face.
And there's nothing better than a priestess eating your cunt out!
I climbed to my feet, struggling to think as desire surged through the room. Lilith had let go of Louise. The nun now gripped Lilith's perfect ass as she ate the demoness' cunt. Sister Louise was lost to the same tide of lust that threatened to overwhelm me. The nun was no longer capable of resisting. I fought my lust down. Mary was still handcuffed, and Desiree and Corina lay on the floor bleeding from their gunshots. I stumbled towards Chastity. I didn't have time to put my cock away, just grabbed my pants with one hand to hold them up. Chastity was still in a daze from whatever Louise had done to her, slumped on the floor. I grabbed her shoulders, shaking her.
Chastity, where's your handcuff keys?
WH what? Chastity asked sleepily. Your handcuff keys? I shouted and slapped her across the face. Chastity blinked, rubbing her eyes, and awareness flooded back into her face.
Sorry, sir, she said and fumbled with her utility belt, pulling out a set of keys. Call for an ambulance, I ordered. We have people shot. And when Lilith is finished with Louise, handcuff her. Right away, sir.
Chastity reached for the radio hanging on her gunbelt and began calling for medics while I raced back across the room, passing Lilith. The demoness still writhed on Lise's face. As I passed Lilith, her arm brushed my hip pleasure shot through my body. I fell to my knees as I came, spurting cum across the carpet. I crawled the last few feet to Mary, and fumbled with the handcuffs before I released her right wrist. The flesh beneath the cuff was raw and bloody from her struggles. Fresh anger surged through me. This fucking bitch was going to suffer for hurting my fiancé. Mary threw her arms around me, not waiting for me to unlock the handcuff from her left wrist, and hugged me tight.
Oh, Mark!
Tears streamed from her eyes.
I was so scared.
Me too, I whispered, and I realized I was crying too as I crushed my filly to my chest.
You saved us.
Lilith's orgasm swept through the room, hitting me, hitting everyone like a brick wall. Mary shuddered in my arms as a climax rippled through her body. My cock, trapped between us, sprayed cum on our bellies. Chastity fell to the ground, gripping her stomach and moaning in pleasure, and Allison and Violet writhed together in a mess of limbs.
Oh no!
Someone shouted in horror, as the wave of lust dissipated.
Master, it's Desiree!
Mary relaxed her hold on me, craning to look at Desiree. Allison raced to the Latina slut and placed her hands over Desiree's chest. Blood soaked the front of Desiree's maid outfit.
Please don't die!
Allison cried, blood spurting around her fingers.
I need you, Desiree!
Your Serenita needs you. Fuck, Desiree was bleeding badly. Mary and I moved to her side, kneeling on either side of her. She was still breathing, but only shallow breaths, and her face had a pale sheen about it.
So much blood!
Mary whispered to herself.
Hang on, Desiree!
I shouted.
You gotta hang on! 911's on the way. She's dying!
Allison wailed.
Don't die, Desiree! Please!
Stay with us, Desiree! I pleaded, clutching a limp hand.
You cannot die! You're my slut! You don't have permission to die! Can you save her, Lilith?
Mary asked, fearful and timid. Lilith shoved Lise from her cunt, the nun falling onto her back in a daze, her face drenched in Lilith's pussy juices. Chastity moved to Lise and began to handcuff the woman.
I can save her!
Lilith purred.
It will cost one of your two boons remaining, mistress.
Boons? Mary asked, confused.
When you summoned me, we entered into a contract.
Lilith explained.
Three boons are owed to you. The first was used in stopping the nun.
Lilith smiled wickedly.
Her powers are broken now. She has been tainted by my demonic fluids. Two more boons are still owed you. Then save her,
begged Mary.
She's our slut. As you command, mistress.
Lilith bent over the unconscious Desiree and placed her lips upon the slut's, kissing her sensuously. Desiree's body convulsed and quivered. She was orgasming. Red light engulfed her, bleeding crimson across the room. I held my breath, clutching Mary. The light faded. Color had returned to Desiree's nut-brown skin, and the blood had stopped spurting from her breast. Lilith pulled her lips away, and Desiree gasped and shuddered, dark eyes opening, licking her lips.
I'm so sorry, master.
Desiree wailed and flung her arms around me.
I didn't want to hit you, but I couldn't stop myself.
Allison flung her arms around Mary, weeping hard. Fiona and Shio crawled towards us, heads hung down in shame. Corina, clutching her wounded arm, joined them.
Forgive us, master, mistress.
Fiona wept.
There's nothing to forgive,
I answered, hugging Desiree back.
That bitch controlled you, and she's going to pay for all the hurt she caused.
I caught Mary's gaze and saw the same burning hatred I felt blazing in her eyes.
Oh, she will suffer!
Mary hissed as she hugged Allison fiercely.
She will crawl on her knees and beg for my mercy!
Epilogue. The foolish sister Contrag's misguided attack on the living gods had dire consequences. The nun unleashed Lilith as a final act of petty vengeance. Behind the false piety of the sisters of Mary Magdalene, beat foul hearts. None of their sordid order cared about the harm their actions caused by freeing the mother of monsters to stalk the world again. The Gospel of April 11:45-46 Mother Superior Mariam Ren Le Chateau, France. A cup of tea in hand, I walked down the steep stairs that led to the Motherhouse basement. A reek of moldy cardboard filled my nose, and I held my teacup up, breathing in the spicy, warm scent as I crossed the room. The skirt of my nun's habit swished around my legs, joining the pad of my skippered feet on the stone floor. I had been dead asleep when I felt the trauma of Sister Lise losing her gift. Another one of my priestesses had fallen. Year after year, century after century, more and more of my priestesses died fighting the darkness, their gifts forever lost. There were so few left, and the warlocks seemed to be springing up like mushrooms upon the dung heap. The adversary was moving. I had glimpsed his plans gazing into the future. The time of prophecy was almost upon us. At the far end of the basement was a metal door stamped with ancient Hebrew script, prayers against the adversary. The door, set in the walls, was made of the same iron, stamped with the same prayers. A matmon. A hidden place. No entity could spy upon the inside of a matmon. In here, the adversary was blind to my actions. The door clanged shut, sealing me in. I sat before a simple table, taking a sip of my tea, and waited for Gabriel. I did not have to wait long for the archangel to touch me with his ecstasy. Unseen hands reached through my habit, touching my bare flesh beneath. Pleasure rushed through me, leaving me quivering. I gasped aloud as the first orgasm coursed through me. My mind was drowned in hot, sharp bliss. "Oh, Gabriel," I moaned in my native tongue, not the French I spoke these days. His hands slid up to my breasts and pinched my nipples. Even after all these centuries, his touch still excited me as much as the first time. Every last nun was his lover, and we all ached for his touch. "I need you," I gasped. His lips found mine, thrusting his tongue inside my mouth, claiming me. His hands stroked my flesh, bringing rapture to my heaving bosom, before sliding down to my thighs. I spread my legs for him, surrendering to his desire. I gasped into his mouth as his girth entered me. His thrusts were slow, but powerful, stirring my passions up inside me. I writhed in the chair, humping back, eager for all these sensations.
"Lilith has been summoned," he whispered in my ear.
"Then this warlock is the instrument?" I asked.
"Yes."
Another orgasm ripped through me, my toes curled, and my gray veil slipped off my head as I moaned and thrashed beneath my angelic lover. Pleasure crashed through me, suffusing all my nerves. I hugged his unseen flesh, humping faster, eager for another orgasm.
"Sister Louise has lost her gift," I moaned. "Lilith has corrupted her. She shall be the vessel now."
Such wonderful pleasure coursed through me, drowning out my sorrow for Sister Louise's fate.
"What is our next, oh yes, step?"
I moaned.
"Sister Theodora will have to stop them,"
Gabriel whispered.
"But,"
I objected. His lips silenced me with a kiss. Another glorious, mind-numbing orgasm shattered through me, leaving my body a quivering pile of jelly beneath Gabriel.
"Sister Theodora will be taught the old ways,"
Gabriel continued.
"Now that Lilith is on the field, Mark will be protected from our traditional tools."
"Yes," I moaned. "But I sense something deeper in the adversary's plans."
"That doesn't matter. Sister Theodora will defeat them, even if she has to use extreme measures."
I shuddered. It had been nearly 200 years since those measures had been used.
"I worry that we are playing into Lucifer's hands,"
Gabriel laughed.
"Do you think my brother can trick me?"
I. Another orgasm silenced my objection. How could I think with such ecstasy pumping through my veins? Gabriel fucked me harder, and all the doubts and fears about the adversary's plans flew out of my head. I only cared about the wonderful, angelic cock reaming my pussy and giving me such delights. Tuesday, June 11th, 2013. Brandon Fitzsimmons, SeaTac, Washington. Beep. 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 The damned alarm clock incessant noise pierced the fog of my hangover.
"Turn off the alarm, Desiree,"
I moaned, and it was a moment before I remembered. Mark Glasner had stolen my wife, and my home, from me. I was lying in my hotel room at the SeaTac Hilton exiled by that bastard. I waited for word from Sister Louise that she had freed my beautiful desert rose. My head pounded, and I slapped the alarm clock, silencing its annoying beeps. I groggily rose and stumbled into the shower. After the warm shower and pair of extra strength Tylenols, I was beginning to feel alive again. Ever since Louise had freed me from that fucking bastard's control on Sunday, I had become a ball of tense, nervous energy. I had spent my entire life taking charge, grasping my own destiny with my bare hands. And now I had to wait while some nun fixes my life. God, I needed to fuck a whore. Instead of ordering another escort, I turned on the news. The news report was almost a distraction to my thoughts as I dressed. Never in my life had I ever felt this helpless. Not even when that cunt of a first wife cheated on me. My hand trembled as the despair threatened to overturn me.
"Come on, Brandon," I hissed. "You are a stronger man than this. Pull yourself together."
Through sheer will, I tried to stop the trembling in my hand.
"Quite neighborhood off Shaw Road in Puyallup,"
I frowned, turning to TV, forgetting all about my helplessness. My house was just off Shaw Road. Fear groping my heart, I grabbed the remote and turned up the volume.
"The homeowner, Desiree Fitzsimmons, and her boyfriend were attacked by a home invader."
The reporter of the crawl on the bottom of the screen identified her as Jessica St. Pierre said, her dusky face animated as she talked. I blinked, more fear gripping me. She stood just down the street from my house. Police cars filled the streets, painting the neighborhood in strobing blue and red lights. They were parked in front of my house.
"Only one woman was seriously injured, a friend of Desiree, who was taken to Good Sam Hospital for treatment. A woman, identified as a Louise Afra, has been detained by the police for questioning."
The nun failed. My heart sank. That bastard Mark had come out on top. My palms hurt, and it was a moment before I realized how tight my fist was clenched. I opened my hand and saw bloody gouges from my fingernails. Fuck, I couldn't take this. I needed to be in control. I was going mad just sitting here. I looked in the mirror. I am Brandon Fitzsimmons. I had worked my way up from nothing. I had never let anything stand in my way before. It was time I stopped being helpless and stopped relying on others. It was time that I once again seized my own destiny.
"Mark Glasner, I will get my wife back,"
I growled at the mirror.
"I will inflict so much pain, so much suffering on you. I'll take your woman from you and fuck her before your eyes and make her moan and pant and tell you how much better my cock feels. I'll watch the humiliation in your eyes as she comes on my dick like a bitch in heat. No fucking power in heaven or hell will stop me."
Sister Theodora Miriam Los Angeles. A woman, identified by police as Louise Afra, was arrested for investigation of robbery and attempted murder. The website read. I still was in disbelief at reading that. For the last hour, I had been sitting at my computer staring at the screen. Stunned. How could this be? She was the best nun I knew. She had taught me every trick to stop a warlock. Please let Sister Louise be fine, if it is your will, O Lord. I silently prayed. Ever since I saw the news report about the orgy that happened in a bar best up in Washington State, I knew a warlock operated in the area. Since then, I had been visiting the Tacoma News Tribune and Seattle Times websites every morning, looking for any more news. There were reports of public sex on a tourist boat, and a wild party that unexpectedly shut down the Space Needle and left thousands in damages. Four women went missing in Seattle, three from the Space Needle and one from a hotel Mark Glasner stayed out. Sister Louise had been confident yesterday when we spoke. But she had failed. The thought sent a tremor of fear down my spine. Sister Louise had freed me from thraldom to a warlock 13 years ago. She was there when I took my vows, set aside my old name, and became Sister Theodora Miriam. And now she was arrested for attempted murder. What had gone wrong? No one was better at fighting a warlock than Sister Louise. Fear for my friend gripped my stomach. There was a polite rap on my door, startling me. I stood, brushing my gray habit smooth and grabbed my white veil, draping it over my head. I breathed deeply, calming myself, before I opened the door. Hola, Sister Theodora. Esmeralda, a 71-year-old Hispanic parishioner of St. Afra, the church I was the caretaker for, greeted me. She gave me a toothless smile, warm and friendly. Hola, Esmeralda. I greeted back. I realized I had forgotten to unlock the church so Esmeralda and her prayer group could use the fellowship hall. Sorry, I just received some bad news. It's all right, sister. Esmeralda answered, patting my arm warmly. Is it serious? I'm afraid so. I answered, stepping out into the morning heat. 8 a.m. and it was already this hot. I shuddered to think how hot it would be this afternoon. L.A. was turning into quite a trial. I may have to leave town to attend to it. Of course, Esmeralda said, gripping my arm as we walked slowly towards the fellowship hall. Another Hispanic woman, Rosenda, waited at the door to the fellowship hall. Rosenda greeted me with a friendly kiss on my cheek. I reached into the pocket of my habit for the ring of keys. They jangled as I pulled them out, and I unlocked the fellowship hall. I held the door open for the two ladies. I flipped the light switch. The fluorescent lights flickered a few times before humming steadily, bathing the table-filled room in soft light. I took a single step in when the ecstasy came upon me. A hand, unseen, reached through my habit as if I did not exist to caress my back. The invisible fingers sent tingles of pleasure throughout my body and a soft moan escaped my lips. The hand of the Archangel Gabriel traced my spine and his soft lips kissed at my neck, my shoulders. His every touch was burning pleasure on my flesh. My knees grew weak, and I grabbed a chair for support. Are you okay, Sister Theodora? Rosenda asked. I'm fine. I gasped as Gabriel's hand was gently squeezing my ass while his other hand slid across my waist and up to my breast. I just need to use. I bit my lip as Gabriel's fingers gently pinched my nipple, the pleasure so intense that it was hard to think. Please, I begged with a quiet whisper. Not yet. Not in front of others. Gabriel didn't care, his hands continued to roam my body, leaving trails of fiery lust. One hand slid around my waist, down into my groin and found my pussy wet and hot, aching for his touch. My body shuddered, and I clenched the back of the chair as an orgasm ripped through me. Then his fiery fingers found my hard clitoris. I had to make it to somewhere private before I lost all control in front of these women. Esmeralda and Rosenda looked at me, eyes wide with concern. I just need, the bathroom. I panted through clenched teeth. I stumbled towards the ladies' room, opening the door as Gabriel's cock entered my pussy. His girth stretched my sheath, the tip of his dick reaching all the way to my womb. I fumbled with the lock, then collapsed to the cold, tile floor as Gabriel's dick plunged hard and fast. The pleasure was so intense, far greater than any mortal lover could excite from my body. The rapture threatened to overwhelm me. I was about to be swept off into insensibility. But before the pleasure drowned my senses entirely, a thought rose up from the back of my mind: Sister Louise would be avenged. I would defeat Mark Glasner and end his vileness. And then I was lost in a sea of pleasure, as orgasm after orgasm rippled throughout my body. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.